We're recording, Nate. You can, you know.
Welcome to episode 62 of Crippled System, everybody's favorite shitty podcast. I'm Nathan. I play Convergent to Cirrus and hypothetically play pigs.
That would be you. No, we always go this way.
I'm Travis. I play every faction. Yeah.
He also known as Sam.
He plays Steam Forces.
He's not.
Darko's he's on the forums.
When we see him, he's not Sam.
Well, but our listeners
no,
know
you guys
him
have called me Sam at events.
We have?
Yeah,
we
never.
Yes, I have. Never.
I personally have.
Not on purpose.
Well, you guys are all
just
liars
at Adepticon because you wore an I Am Sam
that
name
true
tag.
You
that
no,
you
that's
made
because I made the mistake of leaving my name tag out for you to write.
I don't know
Sam
what you're talking about. None. Nobody in this podcast wrote that.
That's true, actually.
That is true. No one in this
no
room.
Who wrote it then? You told him to.
No. It was done. I'm the one who saw it, gave it to Hungerford, and told Hungerford to give it to you so that it wouldn't get traced back.
So Hungerford wrote it.
No, Hungerford didn't
no,
write
Hungerford
it.
Hungerford didn't write it either.
Who wrote it then?
He had a sparkle in his eye when he did it.
He did have a sparkle in his eye.
Whatever. No.
Anyway.
I play everything.
I'm Jeremy, Valiant418 on the forums. I play Legion recently, and I also play Red.
I'm Andy, Major Tusk on the forums, and I play Durgan.
That's true, you do. That's
Brian, he's Carnage the for you, Scorn.
You're enthusiastic. And full of energy. Just full of it.
Do you need a live wire?
No.
Would that make your heart just pop right out of your chest?
Whoa.
And I'm Dan, Skittles on the forums, and I play Krix.
I was very confused because I started like 10 diplomacy games on diplomacy, you know, webdiplomacy.net because I got the bug in me. And one of the other games, there's someone, you're Mr. Skittles on web diplomacy, probably because Skittles was taken.
That
because
bugger.
in a different game, I'm playing against a Skittles. And I'm like, Dan? It's not you.
Not Dan.
Wrong that person. Was the one thing I've signed up for in the last year where someone had already taken that.
Yeah.
Twitter?
That one I've signed else anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm sure Skittles has their own thing and they tweet wonderful information.
Probably. We should follow them just for fun.
Something about a rainbow.
Anyway, announcements?
Announcements! We have some.
We do. Well, I'll start with the brief one because it'll be a topic later, which is Adepticon's coming up. Hence having Travis and Dan on the podcast with us today. And we'll talk about that more later.
That's in April.
Wow.
First we get in April in Chicago.
Yeah.
Next weekend we have the Madison event, the yep. Three List Masters. Play each list once yep. type of thing.
I work.
On the 15th.
Over at Misty Mountains.
Yep. Yep. Oh, it's at Misty Mountain. Okay, good to know.
It's got a pretty good sign. It's got a pretty good sign up, too.
Yeah, it's a good setup.
Yeah, about 16 right now.
And then the 22nd of the month in Cedar Rapids, they're having their second of their four linked events going on. 50 points, three lists as well. Three lists optional. You don't have to
list
three
lists. Yeah.
And
three
as lists. A change of pace, I was told about this one.
We figured what the
just
hell.
To mix things up.
Just to mix up. We want to keep you guessing. Is
yeah.
Well, what we're going
I
for.
Did a good job of throwing Dan under the bus specifically last time.
True.
Yeah. And then we invited him on this time.
And true thing here is that you should pay attention to our Twitter and our
I
Facebook
did pay attention
feed.
To Twitter and the Facebook. The Facebook feed where somebody's like, you should announce all these events. And you go, oh, sure, we'll announce all those. It's a shame that the announcement will be too late for the first one because the first one's already
no,
going to be over.
On Facebook.
No,
I put it on Facebook. It
yeah,
was
we did announce
our,
it on Facebook.
All the yep. messages with the guy were about the event, sure, being announced, but
do
the,
you
the
follow
phrase,
Crippled System on
the
Facebook?
Phrase, we are going to go, didn't come up.
We never did use
we
that phrase.
We never did use that phrase.
No. You said it existed.
There's this
the guy's like,
event.
The guy's hey, like, hey, could you tell people about these events? And you said, sure, we'll tell people about this event. You said, hey, people, there's an event. And that was it.
Hey,
that was the entire conversation. Yeah.
We're going to be playing disc golf in May.
Shove that Dunkin' Donuts so far up your urethra. It'll come out your ear canal.
Only in Jordan's.
Yeah, that's really Jordan's fault. He God. Was your roommate, and he let you down. And, you know, we're happy to throw him under the bus for that.
What? What?
When we went to the last big Mayhem Cup, the 100-person one,
the one
all,
in
of
Iowa.
Us, all of us texted around, oh. and we're like, hey, we're going to go to Dunkin' Donuts. Only
yeah.
no one texted Nate directly because Jordan was in his room and was one of the persons that came up with the idea. So we were like, hey, Jordan, let Nate know as well. And Jordan's message to Nate was, hey, Nate, there's a Dunkin' Donuts down the street. That was the message delivered to Nate.
Just
so
a simple
of
statement of geography. Because we're getting dressed, and I'm like, man, I don't know what I should do for breakfast. Bobby's like, there's a Dunkin' Donuts down the street. I'm like, oh, okay, that's I'll put that on the list of possibilities, I guess.
So everyone else from Madison, and there were like 10 of us, went to Dunkin' Donuts and just occupied
hey,
Dunkin' Donuts.
Why didn't, I didn't get
you were
to go.
There. You were there.
You were literally there at that Dunkin' Donuts with everyone else.
I don't
remember. It was you and Mo and us and...
Even Mo.
What's his name? The guy that plays Signar that's moving away? Oh, crap. I'm forgetting his name.
He moved away right
now. Davis. He already moved away. Yeah, Davis.
And like Davis, we miss you.
Yeah, we do miss you. Like, just everybody except you.
Instead, Pat from Milwaukee and I went to Walmart to see if they had Stompies in my size. Because we saw a commercial on TV for Stompies, which are children's slippers with animal faces. And when you walk, the pressure from your feet make, like, there's an alligator and its mouth opens. There's a bunny and their ears flop up. And I'm like, I want those in my size. I'm wearing those fuckers.
You should go
they
to
did
Target.
Not have them. They did not have them in my size. We went to Target, and there were, like, three stores. We went to all of them. They didn't have them. Raylene searched for Christmas, and she did research, and they are available in adult size, but she ended up not getting them for me.
You should go to Target now. They have hats. They have a little squeeze.
Oh, yeah, and the ears,
ears pop up.
Oh, yeah. But the Stompies. Instead, I have my Kiss boots now. I'll wear those to Adepticon.
Okay. So, any other events after the 22nd?
There's an event that's full on the 29th of in Chicago. So, it's
full. It's already full, so that's not really much point.
50 points. I'll be there.
Yeah, I won't be, so screw you.
Godzilla comes out in May.
Yes.
That's
now we're just, reaching down.
No, that is not reaching down. That is like
that's an important,
the important thing this year.
It's the 12th or 19th. I can't remember which date.
I'm just glad Russia invaded Ukraine now so it doesn't preempt news about Godzilla come May.
Every time I go to the Privateer page right now, they have the new Warlock Saga's picture on the front, and I keep on thinking it's Mompok.
The Warlock, that book is amazing, by the way.
Have you read it?
Yeah,
but Metamorphosis was every amazing. Time I see it though, because Thagrosh, it doesn't really. It looks like Thagrosh, but it doesn't really look like Thagrosh. But it looks like a Mompok mini.
It does.
So
it does.
It's sad.
Do you get
me.
the level 7 invasion pop up every time?
I got that last night
because I get that every time.
That's
later.
Really fucking annoying on a phone.
Level 7 risk.
No, it's the invasion. It comes up the full video from YouTube.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
it's like takes over your screen.
I've had that happen a couple.
Unless it's a phone, then it just tries to and fails. But you put the damn link to close it so small you can't find it.
That wasn't a real news announcement.
What, level 7 invasion would be awesome.
Well, I was browsing the internet and that popped up and I thought that was real. Did that not happen? I bought so much duct tape and put it over my windows last night.
Well, last night,
so
it was
were
probably
we,
more like this morning by the time Katie and I left.
Were we? Yeah. Well, you know, to be fair, my stepdaughters just left Janesville 47 hours ago, so they'll be here in another day and a half.
And I go, the other announcement is Mamcup's going on right now, and evidently Iowans don't know how to win games.
That is 100% true.
So
because Keith and John can't make
Keith,
it.
Yeah. Keith lost, what, round one?
Yeah.
Yes.
John lost round two.
Correct.
And then Crump, Chad and Crump lost out on round. Well, I guess Chad was.
They made Chad, it Chad and Crump made it into the top 16.
Yeah, but, and then lost round for, one.
Yeah, 16.
Up day two.
So we're up. Jordan Knock is our hope.
Yep.
Go, Jordan.
Jordan Knock, the great white hope. Bring it home, baby.
Also announced, too, is
wait,
the
we have to root
weekend,
for
finally.
Jordan Knock?
We do, in fact. Oh. Me too, in this instance.
God damn. That's like Hitler, like Satan's invading the planet and Hitler's the only one that can stop him. I'm like, ugh.
No.
Go Hitler?
No, it's more like...
A phrase only hurt a crippled system.
It's more like Garfield and Odie. Like, we're allowed to pick on him, but when we're not around, he can kick everyone else's ass.
Tell
we're okay with that.
I'll go full nerd and I'll make the actual valid comparison. It's like getting the Magus to join your forces to battle Lavos when he's going to destroy the Earth.
Oh my god.
And Magus is the villain, true, but he's needed in the far greater struggle against the Space Hedgehog. It's a Chrono Trigger reference, Sam.
Okay.
Sam, like me, is watching his respect for you just fall away.
Fuck you, Chrono Trigger's amazing. Anyway, sorry.
You had no respect for Nathan
fair. That's true.
There's nothing
I respected
to fall
Nathan
away.
Until him and Katie been ganged up on me.
We did not. Well, we gangbanged you, but that
a,
was for your birthday.
That was one hell of a video.
Yeah.
He put his head in a wall.
That was a movie pain train.
Do we have any more announcements?
There was more tournament that was happening up north, and I can't find it. I
fired.
Yeah.
The other announcement is that Jamie Huddle was in an ER dressed like a Viking after LARPing and getting his ACL. And
not LARPing.
Or not LARPing.
Doing
but,
his
no, it's Belgarth is what it
is.
It's
LARPing. It's LARPing with weapons.
LARPing with weapons.
It's not LARPing.
It's LARPing.
It's not live action roleplay. It is not LARPing.
LARPing.
Are you live?
It's a way that you can explain it to people who don't know what it is.
It's live action, and you are role-playing a character.
Yeah. And
in fact, you're not role-playing a character. You're doing fighting.
It's
played fighting.
As a character.
But not as a character. It's just played fighting.
What he does has zero. He's not like Orgoth of whatever. Like, he doesn't get in character to it. It's completely, hey, I'm Jamie, and let's hit each other with sticks.
Yes!
That's
exactly what
He's Jamie from Minnesota. He's not Jamie fighting for a realm. So if when he wins, Jamie of Minnesota wins, not Jamie of
Orgoth.
So it's not like SCA style at all.
It's like Fight Club.
Okay.
in a sense where you fight with swords. You get
wall
it, there's rules. It's not.
I'm so glad I brought this up. I'm like, so happy right now.
Andy, there's just intent of him trolling.
I know
Brian's the troll here because I'm being legit. There's LARPing with right, and that's LARPing.
That's like, LARPing.
SCA, which enhanced the foam sword fighting and everything and whatnot. But that as well, you still have a period name. You know, to fit in with it.
Yeah,
but you're not an elf kobold, you know, a halfling, 26th
level warrior.
Yeah, like there's not that, but it's still, you know, like I did some SCA stuff a few years back here locally, and I was Frederick Jaeger. That was my SCA name, and it was because that was a period piece name for like whatever. And I didn't throw lightning bolts and shit, but I don't know. There's none of that to what he does. It's purely the fighting.
Belgarth is really more. It's more about the fighting. You still have a nickname. You still have.
There's people who take it more towards the SCA route, but most people are just in it for the hitting each other with sticks.
Yes.
Which I support hitting people with sticks.
Which explains why a giant guy like Jamie Huddle got his ACL and MCL busted.
Sure. Yeah.
That's the problem with it, though, too, is you get injured. And that's the reason why I'm not doing it anymore either.
Something's even worse. Like, there's some chapters. I don't think they do it anymore because, you know, it's dangerous, but, like. Archery is a weird thing, like when you're trying to do like the battles for SCA and everything, and sometimes they do like basically like nerf style. There's some that just use like blunted ones that just have like
the official rule is it has to be more than an inch wide for the tip, and the bow can't be more than 30 pound draw weight.
Holy crap. It still can have like you can basically just put marbles on the tips of these things, and those fucking hurt when you get hit by them.
The ones that are used for Belgarth are like you could use a tennis ball, but it's a big square. Foam thing, but it's actually on a real arrow and you shot from a real bow.
Yeah. So that's the dangerous part. Like hitting people with rattan with foam around it, you'll bruise and maybe you'll hurt a muscle if you overexert, but you'll do that playing, you know, football. Yeah. When guys are shooting you with a real bow and arrow that just has a little bit of nerf on the tip of it.
Yeah,
like,
that'll hurt.
I was wrong. The event is actually happening today. up in Appleton. That's what I'm looking for. It's going on right now in Appleton.
So, those of you listening to this podcast, it happened yesterday. Good job.
And we won't be there.
And we won't be there. Yeah. We weren't there.
You better not be. You didn't tell me you were going.
By Nathan, by the way.
We're there now. And your holograms all blink out.
See, the last time you abandoned me when I went up there.
What?
Wow, I've never abandoned you.
No, you abandoned Katie's birthday.
Katie's got another birthday. After this event was scheduled,
it doesn't matter. It's Katie.
Rule of first.
No. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's a birthday. Like, one of us tell that to Katie. We're not going to go to her party.
You guys could have made it in plenty of time.
Katie's the boss,
Jeremy. We don't really have any
kind of
choice.
Can you text Katie to come over here?
I am going to text Katie. You need to come kick Travis's ass.
That's fine. She's more than welcome to try.
Did anybody at the event make puke angels?
No.
Then it was not as cool as the party we were at.
That's fine.
Whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
When are we going to have an actual... limit to when we actually mention who that was.
Well, the statute of limitations on that, I'm pretty sure, is, you know, when his wife dies. So
so now we have concluded that he... Well,
there
we
were a
already
lot of married people. There were a lot of married people there.
Yeah, we already concluded he was married before because somebody was drunk texting
him. Yes, someone was drunk texting his wife.
No, that he wasn't drunk texting his wife. Somebody else He got drunk enough to leave his phone lying around, and somebody else got drunk enough to text that other person's wife with their phone.
That second person was drunk enough that when the phone went off in his hand with a response text, he said, "What was that?" At which point I took the phone away from him.
He texted some weird question to
him. Yes, he did.
It was like a reference to something.
I don't know what
there
was a reference to.
It was
something about a wizard hat.
Oh, yes. It was a question. I put on my robe and wizard hat, which is a reference to somebody trolling pedophiles on the internet.
That is true. The thing is, you still put your phone lock on so you have to know the password.
Not everybody has a phone lock. I don't lock my phone.
Are you guys insane?
I have nothing to hide from my wonderful fiance anymore.
She
found all the terrible things on my old phone.
So
the new phone I keep
clean.
You have
to hide.
No, I got my spare phone, like Breaking Bad style. This phone has nothing on it.
He's got a burner phone.
Yeah, I have a burner phone. This one doesn't have a lock. The other one has a literal like lock. I keep it in a safe.
It's like a padlock around it.
Yeah. There's a gun lock on it.
Do you bury the safe?
Yeah, with my gold.
You have gold?
He's a leprechaun.
Fair point.
Oh. When am I going to murder you?
I was going Ron Swanson, but I guess hoisted by my own petard here.
Well played, Andy. Well played.
All right. So, do we want to go into our main topic? Or
which
do we,
one's the main topic?
The is reason it the, we have a visiting guest for.
Well, there's that, or there's the thing we were just talking about.
Oh, let's do that then. Yeah, let's do that.
What Puke Angels?
Andy's event.
Andy's got
a tournament recap. Tournament recap.
Oh, my tournament recap?
Go, you have 5 minutes.
And go.
Son of a bitch. So, I decided to go down to the Chicago team event. Why are you starting a timer? I will punch you in the head. Anyway, we decided to go down last minute. I want to bring a Durgan list with Earthbreaker and such. Why do you have a goddamn timer? What are you doing?
It's not a timer. It's text from Katie for Sam.
Talking smack about Travis.
Okay. But anyway, Jordan decided he was going to play Sorsha 2, and I was going to play Durgan, and we were just going to blow up anything we could possibly see. Until our first game, which is against Malath Jon and Cheddar Caveman, and they were playing Haley 1 and Kruger 2. And
Kruger 2 is good for Durgan.
Kruger 2 sucks because he has a goddamn spell called Stormwall.
Oh, yeah.
That allows him to redirect all my fucking AoEs. That was annoying. So that was turn one. Jordan flipped out that there was Nyss on the other side of the board with Murdoch on them. So he was like, oh my god, get this Earthbreaker over here so you can kill them. I'm like, okay. So we move the Earthbreaker over to his side of the table, and then they all go to ground.
So, wow.
Yeah, so they're all immune to fucking blast damage in front of my Earthbreaker. I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
Kill him in melee. Get your Earthbreaker in there. He'll get it done.
Get her done.
Just trample over him. That actually probably would have worked. But anyway, so then there was like a wall and the objective marker in the way, so I couldn't get the Earthbreaker back over to the other zone to try to contest it. And yeah, then they just beat us in scenario. So that was fun. The great part was having Holt run into the zone by himself with a Getarex and a Stalker and the Black 13. He's like, all right, I got this. I'm contesting. Oh, I'm dead.
Why didn't you? Yeah. You know what might be a better use for an Earthbreaker? Is Durgan feet kill Haley?
She parked right behind the goddamn stone.
Yeah.
The objective marker. And it was turn two. We couldn't kill it. We couldn't target it.
Oh, you couldn't target it. Yeah.
Couldn't target it. Otherwise, she would have been dead.
Yeah. Because you can't even tear in it because you can't target it. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we could have targeted it and it just, you know, did no damage, she'd be dead.
Yeah.
Just from all the AoE blasts.
Yeah.
So then our second game with...
So Menoth Jon played Signar.
He did play Signar.
Menoth
Jon. Yep.
Played Signar.
Yep.
So, all right, and he played, and he went to P. Haley. That's a really bold move. That's someone that says, I want to have fun, and I help people have fun with me.
because if there's one thing I know about a game that has P. Haley in it, it's fun for everyone.
Yep.
I forgot to mention also what happened, too, besides Earthbreaker running off to the right-hand side of the board where he didn't need to go. I was playing Highborn, so all my solos are advanced deployed. Well, Thorn runs, and then Thorn also gets reactive drive when spells get cast through it. Then Thorn goes even further, and then Thorn casts Chain Lightning through there, and I lost Dougal, Thor, and Reinhold.
You don't need those guys in a Durgan
list. Don't need
Thor,
those guys.
That's going to be a hell of a roll to kill Thor.
Yeah, no, he's a 13, dice minus 3.
He's only a 13?
Yeah. He's
it's not that hard to kill him.
I assumed he was a dwarf. He was like arm 16
or something. Just the Forge Guard have that high defense, have that high arm. Well, then obviously
the cast
Gorton, yeah.
Yeah. Our second game, we ended up taking on Makeda 3.
His high shields are what, 14?
And
Shield Guard up to 18?
Yeah. I think it was Makeda 3 and Ron.
That's interesting.
So it was an interesting combo.
That's a rough one.
When Makeda 3 moved up right behind one of... Well, Mole Karn charged across the field, killed their Springin, and then did his lightning strike, whatever it is.
Fate Walker
over to in front of Gorman, so I couldn't do anything with Gorman. So then he moved Makeda 3 up to the ass of a Titan Gladiator.
Whoops.
So I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm going to shoot that Titan Gladiator with the Earthbreaker and I kill Makeda. So we killed Makeda that turn.
Why didn't he have his shield guards next to the Titan? Near the Titan.
He had one over there, but he didn't.
It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. They'd shield guarded off the Titan and it would still hit Makeda because the AoE stayed.
Yeah. And
which is weird.
And even if the AoE moved, if the AoE moved on to the Shield Guard,
the Shield Guard blocks for that one specific guy, but the explosion is still there.
Well, I'm not saying you can't fluff justify it. It's just a weird rule in the game.
I always forget about
the AoE is centered on the target, not on the model hit.
Correct.
Yeah. Even if the AoE moved, the AoE would have still clipped her, even with that. So we killed Makeda, and then Ron proceeded to move all of his troops to engage Durgan, because Durgan was kind of out in the open.
Durgan doesn't have any spells.
Well, Ron didn't. We thought he was going to try to cast a kill Durgan. Didn't cast a kill Durgan. He tried going after Sorsha.
Because you can't use Chain Blast against you.
Well, he can use Chain Blast against me.
The direct hit.
The direct hit will still hit.
But if the secondaries
end up still drifting on top of me, I don't heal. I just get extra armor.
Yeah, it doesn't help at all. It's a bad plan.
What also doesn't help is running to engage Durgan, because then all those guys die.
Yeah. So then he tried caster killing Sorsha, and then we killed. I think Sorsha actually finished him off. She charged up and killed him. Yeah, and then our last game was Kaelissa.
Mm-hmm. Three-round tournament, or did I fall asleep?
Three rounds.
Okay.
it was against Kaelissa and Osram. And this is the first time in Mark II that I've ever seen high shields across the table from me.
I'm trying to figure out what that list thinks it's doing.
Well, high shields are goddamn amazing with Osram, because then they have a legit threat range.
No. Osram is a legit caster. Kaelissa can be a legit caster. I don't see what either of them does for each other.
Well, he could put Snipe onto the Mage Hunter Strike Force. But even then, they still have hard times hitting in the first place.
I'd just rather do it with Kane.
Deadeye
Snipe, Gun Mages.
Exactly. Any other caster.
Under or Raven.
Like, a Scion would have been a much better choice, to have Osram and a Scion or something like that.
It's possible that the Retribution player's friend plays Dwarves, and so he didn't have Kane.
Ah, that is possible.
But so what happened with that game is he moved up his entire army. So he hit Kaelissa's feet, which so everybody had stealth.
Yep.
The Dwarves are over on the right-hand side. Jordan walked up
everybody
with a Spriggan.
Her feet's faction.
No, just Dwarves are on the other side.
Oh, okay.
Jordan walked up with the Spriggan, threw a flare onto the Phoenix.
Oh, God.
Then popped Sorsha's feet. I walked up with the Earthbreaker. I killed the Basher from full. I killed the Phoenix from full. I one-shot one of the little gun bunnies with them.
Holy crap.
Did like 26 points to him, and bam, gone. Just one shot. That was on the tuned up, Sorsha feeded Earthbreaker.
And Durgan get it done
too. Right? No, I didn't feed with Durgan. No, next turn I feeded with Durgan, and I carpet bombed his entire army.
Yeah,
a full unit of Sentinels were dead with UA. Pretty much all the remaining Strike Force were all dead. Jordan charged up with the Spriggan, killed off Kaelissa. So all that was left in the army was Osram and his one unit of high shields, and they were just on a hill. They were off in the side, and we just destroyed the scenario at that point. So that was our three games.
That's pretty good.
We ended up winning most caster kills, so there was
you
a prize.
Sorsha 2. That's all you do is evaporate casters.
We didn't even get Sorsha 2 onto a caster.
But even still, just evaporates casters just in general.
Generally, yes. Yeah. But we didn't use it
like
in that.
That's like my Adeptcon team tournament from last year, where it was Sorsha 2 and Siege.
Yeah. I've seen that multiple similar, years. Yeah, it just evaporates everything.
Yeah.
Durgan is an assassin.
Yes. Yeah. Had we played our first game right, I think we would have been a lot better. Even when the second game also had Ron with the stupid Force Bearer, so he could choose where my AoEs go to. So that was a troublesome round, too.
That's why you kind of have to switch into the assassination mode, because the Force Bearer can't redirect it if you directly hit. Yeah. So, you know, you just have to make Durgan just one-shot a caster.
Yeah.
It's not Force Bearer. It's whatever the spell's called. Force Bearer is a different ability, but we know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
Force Field.
Yes.
It's the one that makes you choose where AoEs go.
It makes choose where you go and make.
I'm not required to remember every rule of the game.
He's also immune to blast damage.
He's always immune to blast.
Yeah,
but when that spell's up, he's immune to knockdown. Immune to knockdown. Immune to blast with force barrier. Pretty good on a caster. Yeah.
That's why Sorsha went up and feeded on him, And then a part of her attacks critically froze him, too.
Yeah.
So he was stationary, and if Sorsha didn't get the job done, the Earthbreaker was right there to finish it off.
He has no fix to stationary. Really, in fact, in Rhett, they have no fix. What are you doing over there? You're worse than Katie.
He's playing Agricola.
I have a tournament.
Why are you playing
Agricola or Agricola?
It's Agricola. I call it Agricola because it bugs people I know.
Okay.
So I pronounce
seriously
it.
Seriously, you're doing
it. I thought you didn't like Agricola.
It's challenging.
He likes getting his ass
Why is it Agricola? Obviously, that.
It's fun.
I don't know.
No, I like it online.
That's just the way I've always heard people call it. I just thought you preferred Kalos and Lords of Waterdeep and stuff.
I do, but I can't. I people play
but
less.
This, okay.
People play less Kalos online than they do Agricola.
You had fun, though, right, Andy?
Good turn. I had fun not watching Brian play games during the podcast.
I thought for once there'd be no iPad games in this recording because Katie wasn't here, but I was wrong.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I'm leaving diplomacy on the table.
Yeah,
I'm right there.
Next time, though, we're definitely going to play it patiently and let us drive our own forces. Like I said, that first round, we did not do what we were supposed to do.
But that's more or less you working out those differences on the fly versus having the experience of sitting there going, hey, look, we're going to do this plan and follow through, right?
Yeah.
That's more what that sounds like.
Yeah, because I mean, you and Jordan didn't decide you were both going until literally Friday.
I was going no matter what.
Together as a team was Friday.
Together as a team was on Friday.
That's zero practice games or a practice game? Or
no,
what?
No
zero.
Practice games.
Yeah,
no.
That's the zero practice games at that point.
No practice games, but honestly, I didn't care what was coming with me. I originally wanted somebody to play Denny 1 or Denny 2.
You just wanted a debuff caster at that point or a control caster of some sort.
Something to really make it so I can kill things even better with my Earthbreaker.
Could have been a Harbinger, an Old Witch, a Denegra 2.
Harbi
Denegra
actually
1.
Would be bad because you'd force Harbi him too far back.
Yeah.
I would want Harbi, but I would still. I would want Old Witch would have been fine.
One of the meaner little combos I've seen that's kind of interesting was Old Witch and Harbi. Because number one, their feats, it's back to back.
Yeah,
it's double.
Stock.
But the other interesting thing in both cases is you have as many trooper models as possible. You put Murder of Crows on top of them.
Yeah.
Then you Gaze of Men off them with the Avatar.
And they're stuck.
And then you feet. And it's like, well, if you move,
you're dead.
You die. If you don't move,
you're
you
dead.
Die.
And you can't move away.
Yeah. Because you can't move away. Yeah, you can't move away and not trigger the thing. So that was something mean that I saw at a previous team
tournament.
See,
the Harbinger wouldn't be bad for you if they would save their feet for turn three.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just
they need to save the feet for a turn that most Harbinger players have a really hard time not blowing a load right off the bat.
I just like the idea of the either Denny in there.
Negros would be fantastic for her.
The negative defense. I mean, I'm going to hit things most of the time anyway, but even the armor debuff is...
A -2/-2 is just going to give your caster...
Yeah, Parasite out there. I was kind of worried about any Colossals. We didn't face any. Because
you could have had a ranged Denegra list that did fantastic for you.
Yeah.
The ranged Denny list would have done amazing for you on playing through that.
Yep. So, yeah, no matter what, I know exactly what I'm taking to team tournaments, and that's Durgan.
Yeah.
On the way back, we did figure out I'm going to make a two Earthbreaker Durgan list. It's going to be awesome.
You and your Durgans.
Oh, my God. AoEs. Go ahead. Go. Sweet. Next turn. Next topic.
Next topic.
Adepticon!
Yeah. This is our Adepticon episode. So we have Travis here.
Because everyone here is going to be at the event for various reasons.
Yes.
Yes.
Most of us are planning to play competitively. One of us will be running events. Two of us will be running events.
I'll play competitively in the Iron Arena.
That doesn't count.
I don't plan on playing at all.
If you play competitively in the Iron Arena, you're a shithead.
Yeah, that's like noob stompings handed out here is what the sign you should put up.
Free ass whoppings.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that guy.
Adepticon has the best Iron Arena ever because of the nature of Adepticon. Being able to drink there and just hang out there and be in the same hotel is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have some of the craziest people.
I think Free Ass Whopping's kid ages 6 years every Adepticon.
He does get a lot older.
Because he was like 12 at that first one when he won the... He was like 12, and the next year he's like, 16 to 18, and then last year he was in his mid-40s.
So I just want to see Wheelchair Guy again this year. I'm looking forward to it.
That's so good. That was the best part about working the midnight shifts at Adepticon was just... Number one, I was usually just alone, so I played single-player board games like Ricochet Robot and D-Day Dice. And then all of a sudden, there's a drunk guy in a wheelchair for 14 hours. Like, okay.
You go there, check his pulse once in a while. Like, hey, buddy.
You just push him.
No puke angels, though, so, you know, he was an all-star.
Well, he's a professional. He's a professional. He's a professional, yeah.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah, don't try puke angels at home.
So the first announcement I have for Adepticon is anyone who has not signed up for events, the web cart closes this Friday, this upcoming Friday, April, or
March
14th or 15th,
March 14th.
Whatever.
March 14th.
Yeah, 14th.
Adepticon closes March 14th.
The web cart.
The web cart. Oh, I thought you said Adepticon closes at March 14th.
The web cart.
How are they going to hold the event if it's closed?
Why do I need to be louder?
Because you're super quiet.
You are really quiet.
Use your big boy voice.
Like Brian.
I'm sorry. All of you guys are really, really, really loud.
That's called mic control.
You're the one who bought like 3 Mountain Dews on the way here.
I think I'm only through half of one.
I don't understand your shirt. Why is the ninja on fire?
Because he's the unstealthiest ninja.
Like, I just have to gather that?
He ran into the fire thing on the
But why shirt. Did that happen?
Because he's an idiot.
Okay.
Don't you understand this?
It's...
You don't watch the show, Nathan?
It's not a show. It's just a Woot shirt series.
I was trying to help you.
If you go on shirt.woot.com...
Is there just a series of shirts with this one incompetent ninja?
Yes. There's one hanging off the back of a dragon as they're trying to fly. There's one with arm waders when he's trying to run across the river. There's one in the snow
that
weather.
That just seems like a good idea.
There's one in the snow landscape where all the rest of the ninjas are in their white camouflage and he's wearing black. It's really helpful to be stealthy in snow when you're wearing black.
He could just be a shadow.
He sticks out like a sore thumb.
No, there could be one of the white ninjas standing up and the black ninja could be lying down.
I was really tempted to wear the Santa one where they're all stealing presents out of the back of Santa's sleigh except for the one that's hanging off the edge of Santa's sleigh.
That seems like a ripoff of the first shirt you mentioned.
The dragon.
Sure. Yeah. It's Christmas one, though. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's all right.
We love to call it shirts on the podcast for our listeners to enjoy the
that beauty. Can't see.
Yeah. Yeah. See, if we were doing a video podcast, that's why I said shirt.woot.com.
They have them all listed there. You
and
can
then
find
we take a picture of the shirt. The last time we took a shirt.
Oh, Katie didn't actually tweet that. She just said, I'm going to tweet a picture and then just took the picture.
She just took a picture.
Good job, Katie.
100%
sure. Well, anyhow.
And Travis does not suck my dick, Katie. Trust me, I've tried.
So anyway, the event registration closes this Friday.
March 14th.
Do not have, if you choose to not sign up for whatever reason, you can still pay for events at Adepticon. You just can't be one of the guaranteed slots for any of the open events.
And I will say, for those of you that are like, oh man, I missed it and I still really want to go, still go. People do drop. And
there's always open spots
to play. Come on out. Have fun.
Yeah. Well, especially one of the big ones is the second Masters. Because people will have signed up for both, and then they'll qualify in the first one, so their slot's open in the second one.
So you're guaranteed
there's most likely eight drops.
Sure.
Yeah. Most likely eight drops.
You're guaranteed 7 because I signed up for the first one and not the second one, so when I qualify in the first one, I'm not going to drop in the second one.
I'm not concerned about that.
We're not worried about that affecting our math in any way.
Fuck all y'all. I have a corollary in Luke hands. I'll be stomping shit.
You'll have a legitimate corollary, not a paper cutout.
Excuse me, it's foam core mounted and laminated. It's a high quality cutout.
Mine's fully assembled and painted.
Fuck you.
Hey-o. But anyways, we've got Masters events on the first day, on Thursday.
Yeah, the first day is Thursday this year, for those of you that maybe
it is a four-day weekend.
And you can also come, I would say, Wednesday night, because you can get your badges Wednesday night. Because a lot of us are doing that Wednesday.
Yes, and I would actually recommend that.
Because the lines are normally atrocious in the morning.
And also because the Master stuff starts at 9.
Yeah,
correct.
If you show up Thursday morning and try to get your badge before your Master's event, you are not getting into that Master's event.
Oh, Blood, Sweat, and Tears is at 8 a.m., so
not getting into that.
Even then, show up.
But that's reg time. That's not
there's going to be like, so that Blood, Sweat, and Tears, some Master's going to have like... all the people who want to win it. And then one of the guys like, screw it, I'm going to go win Blood, Sweat, and Tears. So Blood, Sweat, and Tears is going to be like, 30 or 40 regular guys and like one like top tier guy going, rah,
Blood, Sweat, and Tears right now is 64 minus 49, so under 20 people.
Under 20. I'm telling you, one of them is going to be
one,
normal,
of them like,
one of them is normal, like, a Masters tournament qualifier. He's going to win
one
that.
One of them is Will Pagani.
Will's actually not going. Will's not going.
The Texan Cruiser
I don't
not coming
believe
at all.
The Texan Cruiser coming.
Wait, none of them?
Because he said that... he said they wasn't coming to judge it all. So
I like a non-negligible percentage of that podcast.
It's true. Me too.
Okay.
At least 1.5.
Chili is my favorite Texan.
Chili is my favorite. Yeah.
Anyhow.
Even not regarding War Machines. My favorite Texan like for all things.
So on Thursday, we got the Blood, Sweat, and Tears and the Masters and the Iron Arena.
Oh, okay.
I'm ignoring and just keep talking.
Travis, you have things to talk about. You just need to power through it.
There are Kingmaker events. I don't think they're actually legitimately going to happen because we have 5 signups between all 5 events.
Wow.
Bring your Kingmaker decks to play, but I don't really think there's going to be any events that are tournaments that are legitimately running.
Hey, finalists, 5 people, put them together.
Yeah.
We probably will do that.
They'll still run them, but
yeah. Yeah, it's
that's high command.
It's high command, yeah. Okay. It's just that the format we posted for it is not the correct format for how to run.
This
was before we had figured everything out with how to do the high command events.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you if the people can't get into their events, that they'll probably go to something
correct.
Like that.
Correct. We have, going forward next year, we're going to have this event schedule figured out a lot more of the different events. High command was something that we had.
Well, there were two things dropping you this year, Iron Gauntlet and High Command.
Correct. Iron Gauntlet is not something we used to run at Adepticon, and then High Command is just something we were going to run.
Yeah.
Yep. But then I'm doing the judging for the Blood, Sweat, and Tears. So.
Fun. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. That should... Yeah.
Yep.
Should be fun.
So we apologize to everyone in that event.
Yep.
On Friday, we have got the Iron Gauntlet qualifiers, one in the morning, one in the evening after 7
p.m. It's not actually one in the morning. It's 8 in the morning, but there is one in the morning.
Sure. 8 a.m. Reg, 8:45.
There are events at Adepticon that start around that time, so I just want to clarify.
They try to avoid that, but yeah.
I'm playing at least one of those two. I forget how many.
So it's the 8 a.m. Iron Gauntlet, 8:45 round starts, and then there's a 9 a.m. Who's the Boss that's run by Andy. None other than Andy.
So are the other 3 ninja competent? Because they're standing right next to the candle, though. Like, yes, if they're trying to be bothering
you. Yes.
Well, why are they even near the candle? They should be out here in the woods.
Yeah, because
he's
like, what the hell?
Right, but he's still next to a candle.
And this one's like, what's going on?
Like, ignore the fact that that guy's on fire. Those other 3 ninja are standing a foot away from the only light source in this place they're trying to sneak into.
There's a light source to the left, too.
Well, then why are they near that one? There's a roof up there with no light sources. There's a nipple over here that... Okay. All right. I got carried away.
I was waiting to see how long you'd go.
Even like
you were rubbing him for a few minutes.
So many problems with this image.
I wore this shirt to provoke something, but I didn't expect you to have an issue with it.
This is bothering Nate almost as much as Ben Lang's shirt bothered Katie.
just don't be next to the
candle. So for future guests of our podcast, don't wear a shirt. Please.
Wear a shirt. Just make it a blank shirt.
Be like Putin. Just don't wear a shirt.
Yeah, don't wear a shirt. Yeah.
You've seen that calendar, right?
Also, all female wargamers are invited to be podcast guests.
Yeah. So I'm making a new list of our next guests.
Special crossover with Wargame Girl.
So anyhow, Iron Gauntlet qualifiers and Who's the Boss. Who's the Boss is over half full, so you should have quite a few people there.
Excellent. Well, I expect to probably have more people the day of.
Yeah, that always ends up happening.
Who's the Boss always fills.
Especially people who play and who've qualified for Masters and who are like, you know what, screw it, I want to do the other event.
It's Iron Gauntlet. So it's competing with Iron Gauntlet.
Or
which
first time
to
show up and their friends talk them in and they're like, hey, you have to try this. Like, despite what we think, not everybody on the planet is familiar with Who's the Boss.
No, and the really interesting thing is Iron Gauntlet, the first qualifier, has a ton of people on it that I did not expect because, like, Gen Con's Iron Gauntlets were awful last year.
There was just not that many.
We had, like, 16, I think, something like that.
Yeah, 16 and 19.
Well, it's also not scheduled against Masters this time.
That was set up last year that way.
Yeah. And also going against Who's the Boss.
Is it still the same format?
The format does not change until after Lock and Load.
Okay.
So Gen Con 2014 will have the new format.
Okay.
But Adepticon and I think...
Adepticon is the last
Kingdom
U.S. qualifier
Con.
For the...
Either Adepticon or Kingdom Con. One of those two are the last two of the last format. So it gets really awkward, but the format rules that are on the Iron Gauntlet page are the correct rules for this season. It did not change. It just got updated for... The scenarios in the SR 2014.
Okay.
Then on Friday.
Saturday.
I did do Friday. Holy crap. On Saturday, thank you, Dan, is the team tournament starting at 7 a.m. That is sold out. That is the two-player team tournament that's different than every other team tournament at any other conventions because normally they run either teams as pairs with the captain, first lieutenant, second lieutenant. This one's different. What?
You forgot the Iron Gauntlet qualifier part 2.
I mentioned it was in the evening.
Yeah, he said
it. Yeah, it's the evening.
It's,
okay, sorry.
It starts at 6 p.m., yeah.
Team tournament's different how?
It's most of the team tournaments at the conventions are you play a single game.
You have 3 people play individual games.
And they pair against each other of the other teams.
Yeah.
This team tournament's where they're together. Each player brings 25 points. You cannot copy characters across either side, and you have to follow rules for, like, animosity or...
And that restricts you from playing other things. So you can't have Thamerites and Morrowinds because the Morrowinds prevent the Thamerites from playing.
So they fixed that this year.
I think that's always
there was a previous year that worked.
Because they probably didn't bother
the first year.
Yeah, it was.
They were just like, bring 2 25-point lists and nothing else matters. But they,
But yeah, and that's running against the Masters finale.
There needs to be a terminology distinction between the team tournaments where a team all plays games and a team tournament where the two people play as a team, like Andy and Jordan.
Isn't it called two-headed monster?
Two-headed giant is the magic term for it. Yeah.
But that, like, I don't think that's the official, like,
well, Dupticon was doing team tournaments for so many years, and it's been the team where it's three people on a team has been gaining some popularity.
Commanders. Like three commanders is what Gen Con calls it. But that team tournament idea, or at least has been used through Adepticon for many years.
Because the three commanders format, no one ever calls it three commanders. Just on the nature of how people describe the tournaments, they're team tournaments.
Right.
But the Adepticon team tournament, the reason we did this format is for years, for 40K, this is a big thing at the store that I play at. Most of our 40K players, they end up making four-person teams, and how the event works is you are paired with one of the three other people on your team for every round. So you go with you got players A, B, C, and D. A and B play, and then C and D play, and then A and C, and then the other two, and then A and D, and then B and C play together. And so you fight the opposing teams. You have two games that go on simultaneously with the opposing teams. We didn't do four players because we figured it was pretty much nigh impossible for anyone to decide on four players for a team.
Yeah, that's a lot of paperwork for people.
Oh, yeah.
Say, or just in general, neat, getting,
but yeah.
In getting four players to play in it, we don't. The War Machine community is not large enough, correct? It just gets very difficult and time consuming. So we said two player one, where you just each have a two player, two lists, and you're playing a two caster 25 point game where they both mesh together and you play a single game. So it gets. There's some wonkiness to it. It's interesting.
Well, it's fun. It's fun to mix. It's fun to mix the factions together, though.
Exactly. Yeah. You get some crazy combinations. Siege, Sorcia 2.
No, not even that. So what was happening is I brought Rupert along in my list.
Yep.
And I just basically gave him the Jordan.
You can give the characters that don't have access to.
So there was factions, some Winter Guard Death Stars that were running around at Defense 18.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some very cool combinations you can do. So the thing you have to be careful about with the team tournament is that the faction and friendly faction don't change.
Correct. Yep.
So friendlies, both sides, friendly faction is still just your faction. So
Shay loves that format.
Oh, yeah. She definitely loves that format.
Because Gudamain ain't faction.
Yes. There are some fantastic team force.
Yep. Some nice interactions with those.
And you said it's sold out, but it's at the same time as Masters. And
you can still get people.
Well, a lot of people of us have signed up for both the team and Masters.
I'm signed up for the team and the Masters. I'm really hoping I qualify. And
the only issue this year is I had to schedule it against the Masters final.
You have to do that.
It's against something. You can't do it Sunday.
Yeah. I cannot. This event is honestly the event that sold out the fastest. Everyone comes for the team tournament event. Yep. It's amazing.
Well, that's just Adepticon in general.
Exactly. I mean, that's what we do.
The 40K team tournament, which is 144 person teams sold out in 25 minutes. Yeah.
I know the time restraint is a reason, but I missed when it was two teams each was 35 points.
I would like to make it 35 points. The problem is it's the time restraint. It takes too long to run the game.
No,
I can't really
understand the reasoning. It makes me sad, but it's an event. I mean, it's a tournament.
That's a general convention standpoint that a lot of people have issues with is why are most convention games 35 points?
Yeah.
It's because of the time restraints. Yeah. We, as a convention organizer, you want to get as many events in as you can. And if you're running, like, say, War Machine Weekend, the Invitational, had 120 plus odd players.
Stupid number of players.
A gigantic number.
The last chance you
mean? Yeah.
157.
So whatever, it was a gigantic number. Yeah. It, at 50 points, which I believe it was, the thing took forever.
It took 2 days.
So as a convention organizer,
almost not a joke.
You don't want that. You don't want that type of event as an organizer because then your players are locked in and stuck doing that sort of thing. And most players. Some players will be okay with dropping. Most players don't like to drop.
Yeah.
So you end up sucking up all of their time
for one event
into that one event, and you're not letting them see anything else. So if you look at the schedule, you can actually plainly see it where there is 7 or 8 a.m., 7 to 9 a.m. reg times, and then all of our events end by 6.
Yep, and then 6 o'clock events.
And then 6 o'clock events kick off, and you have you have like a half hour to an hour to go get food and get back and then get into your next event. So that's the schedules that we try to do that.
Except on Saturday, where that pretty much
it gets,
happen.
Yeah, it gets odd because of the events, but that's the basis of what we try to schedule stuff is how that's how that works.
And then side note to the whole, the you know, your point about people being time invested and locked into something, that is why Adepticon, I don't say this, but for things like Gen Con, I recommend not playing War Machine.
You can, yeah.
You know, because there's...
There's a lot of stuff to do.
It's, you know, like people ask, that comes up a lot, like on forums, like people talk about that. And my recommendation is if you want to play War Machine, you go to like War Machine Weekend or Adepticon. Do not do it at Gen Con. Like, you can if you're hardcore.
Or if you want to play
like if it's your first convention or whatever, like if you want, like if you're going to go there Masters, if you're one of those big people, but in general, like if you're looking for a way to, that's not why you should go to Gen Con. Because like Lando Calrissian is signing autographs 100 yards away. There's better things you could be doing.
Jim Butcher is going to be there.
Yeah, Jim Butcher is going to be there.
Yeah, just play some arena games when you have some time.
You know. Play a little or whatever, but don't, like, people go there a lot. Like, I see people make that mistake where they go in and sign up for every event, and they're like, I'm going to play so much War Machine at Gen Con.
Tony Faber literally didn't have a room. They didn't sleep and played War Machine. Like, they drove all the way there. They started playing War Machine. They played War Machine through the night, and they played War Machine the next day, and then they wanted to die.
Not one, two of the events.
And I know.
Yeah, but
like,
who cares?
He looked at him, and it was like he was being held together by caffeine and sheer willpower.
Yeah,
like,
so he did the Keith method.
And youth. And youth kept them together.
Yeah.
He'll lose that one, though.
Fuck it.
I know in the other issue, too, with tournament organizers, they got to make sure that things don't run long as well. I know that was one of the biggest issues that when Privateer first... When I first talked to them about doing like who's the boss,
who's boss?
Spin the wheel definitely takes a lot of time, but then I made adjustments to make it so we could fit it in a time period like that, and we were able to keep on using the wheel for those type of events.
Because not only when an event runs long is that one event goes interminably long and the people are stuck in it, but the next event can't start till it's over, and so you get a traffic jam effect. But the entire weekend shifts by 3 hours.
And if people want to participate in more than one event, they're stuck.
Yeah, I remember, I think 3 years ago, we did a Thursday night or Friday night, or the first night of the convention, there was a 25-point...
was that the opener one?
Yeah, that was the opener where the registration line wrapped around the building twice, so it took us 3 hours to get through there, so it started 3 hours late.
That was in addition to us not getting the hall
until
an hour before the event. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
So that one was bad because it ended up not finishing until, I think, like 3 in the morning.
It was awful.
And hardcore started in 4 hours.
Yeah, I remember that.
You'll also notice.
I think I was working for that one, too.
For the for the old men of the group and the old people of the group, that there's plenty of time to sleep between events.
Mm-hmm. I'm also excited that we're in a much bigger room this year.
Yes, we're in the Lilac Room, which
it's over double the size.
Nice. Yeah. Because it was very tight last year. I understand limitations, but it was ass to ass all weekend at Adepticon last year, man.
You said it was very tight.
It was.
Like, is it at, like, every weekend for you? Ass to ass with everyone?
Okay, buddy.
Anyway.
That's a reference to that one movie.
Uh-huh.
So then the finals for Masters are on Saturday, in addition to the team tournament. And then Saturday night we have the hardcore event, which is legitimately a hardcore event at this point because it is an overnight event.
I may sign up, depending on how my week goes, I may sign up last minute.
I may just show up going,
screw it.
It says right on the calendar, ends at 7:30 a.m.
Yes,
Sunday
that
morning.
That one we cannot cut, so it legitimately goes all night. We'll probably cut for the top four if it needs to go that far.
It shouldn't. It's hardcore.
At this point, there's only 22 people signed up.
It'll fill.
But that's because everybody's like, will I be already playing that day?
I'm so excited to play hardcore again.
If I fail getting into Masters and I fail getting into Lock and Loaded Finals, which is probable.
I think you mean Iron Gauntlet.
Iron Gauntlet, whatever. Whatever. If I fail in all the other things, then I will probably
You could be like, hardcore now. I crush people's all.
I won't be hardcore painted by that.
Xerxes, oh my. Kneel before Xerxes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I will not be judging that event.
Excellent. Then we can have Xerxes.
I'm doing the team.
I will probably be that, watching that event.
I could probably help.
Up for that event? I don't remember what I signed up for.
I think we're at a lack of PGs to watch events, so I think I'm going to be working overtime the convention.
Yep. Nathan, you and I are at the qualifier on Sunday.
Just make Rick do it.
Oh, okay.
But there really is a lack of PGs out there. So if you are going to Adepticon and you are a PG, they have a really nice payback program for judging events.
So go and check out for it.
Yeah, check out the forum and check it out because they do need some more
PGs. Get on it.
Honestly, I'm looking over the list. I'm like the only judge for most of the day events that Travis is not already running.
Yeah, Brian, you haven't worked a single shift at a convention, have you?
I worked my first I worked six shifts the first Gen Con.
Okay. But like none of these like
then
recently.
I worked four. No, now I've
learned your lesson.
Yeah, I learned that if I go to a convention, I want to enjoy myself. I have a job that pays me a lot of money, so I don't need to get, $50 or whatever, how many hours of free things.
I have a job that pays me a lot of money, yet I run every.
You enjoy
it. Yeah, but Adepticon is also like your.
I do the same thing at Gen Con.
I organize a ton of local things.
At Gen Con, I was running every event.
Yeah, I wouldn't know because I came into the vendor hall to like refuel in between the awesomeness that was Gen Con.
Well,
I need a break. I'm going to go to the War Machine.
I like the press ganger party, so usually you want to work a shift at Gen Con.
Which I don't get to go to.
Yeah.
The PG party's a lot of fun.
So that's a good
shift
to work.
We could talk.
I sat outside the PG party last year.
Yeah,
we occupied the PG party.
There was a lot.
It was like
there
me
was
and
a,
Katie and Keith.
There was a large.
There was a large outside of PG party.
Yeah, we were playing High Command, and people were occasionally bringing us drinks.
My wedding got delayed a week, so now it's my wedding's 2 weeks after Gen Con instead of 1 week. So maybe I will end up going.
You should go.
There's another PG that's using it as he's having his bachelor party at there, so maybe we'll have a bachelor party.
Who's that?
There's a lot of some just guy. One of the random PGs. I think it was a rather new PG.
Not a local
PG. It was a rather new one. I'm not actually sure if he's there.
There's a lot of PGs we know because the Midwest Meta is pretty strong.
And there's a lot of PGs in the Midwest Meta.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Madison has four PGs. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that is weird. You're only sort of a PG. Too.
I'm not a PG anymore.
Yeah.
You're still technically
I
think you're technically a PG power.
I was going to be until my store closed, so...
Well, except Rick was the Janesville one. Then he moved up to Madison and took over Last Square. And then they were going to also make you a Last Square PG. Like, Last Square would have had three PGs at that point. Because I think Brian was still Last Square
PG.
No,
I'm Misty Mountain.
You're Misty. You and I are both Misty.
Yeah.
Andy is Pegasus.
You're making every town that has one PG super jealous. We should stop.
Hey, I was effectively the only PG for Milwaukee for a long time.
And you're not the
time.
Only one. Like, most places we go, it's like, man, that guy should really get some of his other PGs to help him out. Oh, wait, he doesn't have any.
Yeah. On the flip side, last Wednesday, there literally wasn't enough room to play
at Pegasus. Yeah.
The game. I mean, that was how the square was before they moved, actually.
Yeah.
We were running out of tables.
War Machine killed last square because nobody.
Yeah.
War Machine. And War Machine killed last square.
Anyway.
Adepticon.
Anyway, no more Adepticon. First world problems. Back to Adepticon.
But no, I just want to talk about how
on
more
Sunday,
40K players.
So
are
after
assholes.
Everyone goes till 7:30 playing hardcore at 7 a.m. for both Iron Gauntlet and Commander's Crucible.
What is Commander's Crucible?
Commander's Crucible is where you bring three battle groups.
Oh,
and
right.
You have one support
group,
and you play each of the battle groups. It's actually a really neat format.
I might do that on Sunday when I fail to qualify as well. I have all my
you have all these plans for when you fail miserably. When I fail miserably, I'm going to take it out on noobs.
See, the best thing about it is Scorn actually makes off like a bandit on that because except for Marketh. Marketh still gets screwed, but you get characters.
Yeah,
if you take a character group in your support, you get them in all three lists. So Gorman DeWolf makes all three lists.
That's why I like it as a convergence player. I get all my characters in every army.
Yeah.
You don't have it.
All of my characters are in every army.
His casters.
I'm the same with Brian, though. I signed up for one event. I signed up for one of the Masters qualifiers. That's it.
So,
I'm going to just play random shit.
I signed up for both because I am legitimately trying to qualify this year for War Machine Weekend. So I've been playing a lot.
This actually might be decent for that because I don't think there are quite a few metas that are not making
the trip. If the Texas guys aren't coming up at all, that's a big chunk of guys that are regularly making it in the Masters qualifiers.
Is Jordan already qualified?
Knock.
Doesn't matter because you can requalify now.
Yeah. Well, no. If he could still win it, I mean, he may.
No. If he wins it, then it goes to number two.
Did they make the Mayhem Cup into a qualifier?
It is. Yeah.
So there's the potential that this weekend he could qualify.
Yes.
Well, no matter what, the people that are undefeated right there are all tournament goers, so that makes it just means someone else.
Because right now it's Will again, but then it's Chuck because Will.
I thought Will lost.
No, Will beat Chuck, but
Will beat Chuck, but Chuck got in because
Will already qualified. You're talking about at TempleCon.
I think at Temple, right now, in Texas.
Usually by Gen Con, sometimes the Warmish Weekend qualifier spot goes like a third or fourth place.
Correct.
Because everyone who's...
It's already worked its way through.
Yeah.
I know they posted it on the War Machine Weekend, either Facebook page or some on the forums or whatever of what the qualifiers were.
Yeah, they did.
But the Masters events, the qualifier for Adepticon, and then the Iron Gauntlets, obviously the Iron Gauntlet qualifier.
Right.
Did someone call Target and warn them they were coming? Because usually
we hit that target real hard.
That target just gets in the butt.
Poor Target.
They have good Pizza
actually,
Hut stuff.
I love that Pizza Hut.
I feel sorry.
Yes,
feel sorry for the Pizza Hut that's
pizza
in the Target.
It's so hard.
But someone should be like, you guys should really triple your supply. I mean, you think...
Yeah, I went through, and unfortunately, I was looking for healthy snacks and Gatorade, so I was fine. But I got there, not the first night last year, and it was just, the candy aisle was just bare shelves. It was just wow.
Well, it's literally like when you watch a movie and people are going through survival, trying to find a range of stores of food, and everything is empty. That's what the food aisles look like.
Yeah, it's a little bit Walking Dead in there.
Yeah.
It's rather amazing.
And the employees just look like zombies, so they don't know what just happened.
The hotel is... I don't get how the hotel doesn't go crazy with us.
Well, do you remember the year, Travis, where it was, or this might have been before War Machine was there, but there was one year where it was both AdeptCon and a wedding.
No, that was War Machine was there. I remember that. The Harry Carey was a wedding.
That
the
was
wedding
hilarious.
Walked because that the wedding walked into, I think, the Malifaux room or into the 40K room. Like, a wedding party drifted into that room, and they're like, what is this?
I love a normal run into.
The best was the
drunk normals.
I love how you call them normals.
It's drunk normals on top of it, so they were really confused
on
what was going
muggles.
On.
I'll say the elevator was the best because it was either people in really nice formal wear, a little bit intoxicated, or people in pajama pants entirely intoxicated.
With armies. Potentially.
Yes.
Speaking of which, there's still time to have the privilege of me roommating with you. So anybody out there who's still,
You could still room in my... I've got two
rooms. You don't have a room yet, Nathan?
If you need a room, I've got space in...
Oh, yeah. Wait, y'all then. I'm staying with Travis.
Do you need one?
Yeah.
We have two late.
I think we have... I'll let you both know.
Too bad.
I'll figure it out.
Everything's filled.
No, I'm not... I'll let you guys know.
I got a cot, so...
Sure.
All right.
I heard what you said.
Fine. I'll let you guys know because I know Professor Lust is staying with us.
The important question is which person is going to be sick in Nathan's bed this year?
I was about to say, can you guarantee that the influenza virus will be infesting in one of your mattresses? Because that's the only way I like to sleep at Adepticon is bathing in somebody else's filth, squalor, and disease.
I'll let you
know. You're welcome.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys just need to let me know that because I would have.
All right, I want to ask a legitimate on-air question to Travis because I know several people have brought this up, and I'm sure you've been asked this a lot.
The Masters 3-round
events. Why is the Masters qualifier on Thursday and Iron Gauntlets on Friday? Because I was the only one that was like, "Hey,
I messed that up."
Yeah. Okay.
The main reason I did it the way.
I don't understand the problem. Explain the problem.
The problem is that people do not want to attend on Thursday.
A lot of people.
That is the problem.
A lot of people, like me, I don't have the problem going to conventions in general, but taking off
three days,
at least having to take off two and drive late Wednesday is actually legitimately hard for me, and I'm not the only one. And so Iron Gauntlet, nothing against Iron Gauntlet, but I'd much rather have a chance to play Masters than Iron Gauntlet. Like, if Masters and Iron Gauntlet were switched, I would be going up Thursday night, I would be working Thursday, and I would just deal with it. Gotcha. It would suck. I'd love to be there the whole time, but I would. But I don't have that option because the Masters qualifiers are on Thursday.
You answered your own question.
So you're literally doing it just to screw us all and make us come up early?
It's to increase attendance of Iron Gauntlet.
But I'm not going to... I'm still going to play
Iron
Gauntlet.
No, it's not that. The thing is, as a convention organizer, you're trying to get people there for the entire time. We have to pay for... by the square foot, the rooms that we have to have. So if we get poor attendance on any of the days, it hurts us bad.
Okay, so then that brings up the flip side of my question,
which is, why is
the Masters finale on Saturday then?
Because we did it. We had to stagger them.
But you don't.
It's Masters Iron Gauntlet. Convention
hall. Masters Iron Gauntlet. Masters.
Thing is, I'll explain for Travis right now. On Sunday, the convention hall closes early. So if you end up having Masters,
this is why I screwed up. Screwed up because Iron Gauntlet and Masters should have been flipped for that reason.
Yeah, Iron Gauntlet runs.
Iron Gauntlet's the advertised one that we record.
Which
runs in that issue.
And you're going to be recording it and lights are going to shut off.
However, we don't have that issue here. Gen Con, that's an issue. Gen Con's you can guarantee that Iron Gauntlet is never on Sunday
at
Gen
Con. Right.
At a convention, they have no control over the rooms.
Correct.
We have complete control over the rooms at Adepticon. So everything closes at 5, so we're going to be done by 5. Because we have more table space at that point.
Sure.
We'll have everything set up for Iron Gauntlet, and we'll get into Iron Gauntlet.
But I guess it's just that, it's that flip side that there are people that are – I guarantee there are people that are going to leave Saturday night. Yeah, I mean, like, I saw fine. Masters, or I played Masters, or whatever, and I'm out.
That's fine.
But cool. It's less likely, I mean, I think it's less likely because people still, but there's other things to do.
Once you're there.
Yeah, and plus, honestly, yeah, and people, and Iron Gauntlet is picking up steam. It's still, War Machine Weekend had the biggest attendance, TempoCon had big attendance. I mean,
part of it's because they finally figured out the correctly how to schedule, yeah, which is not at the same time as Masters.
And people, scheduling against Masters was a terrible idea.
It's just because some of us here aren't as excited for it. It is picking up in popularity.
And once we find out the prizes, once we find out what the prizes are next year, I bet is going to be insane.
Yes, if lock and, if they prize support it well at Lock and Load this year,
it's going to be nuts.
Everyone's going to be much more into Iron Gauntlet next year.
Correct.
The problem
was we play for the prizes.
Well, no, but there are people that do. I know. And the thing is, the prizes help balance out the prestige that War Machine Weekend already had. Yeah. So if Lock and Load is well prize supported, it'll be like, hey, that kind of helps create the cachet.
Carl, take him up a notch. You can't. Yeah. War Machine Weekend invitation will always be the thing.
The thing is, at the end of the day, I think it's a better indication of skill as opposed to money you put into the hobby to play not painting required one faction than to play painting required two factions.
It is painting required.
Yeah, it's been painting required for 2 years.
War Machine Weekend just changed to that.
But the qualifiers are not.
True.
And like, once I qualify, like if I qualified for Iron Gauntlet Lock and Load, I don't mind, oh man, I need to get my army painted because I'm going to be playing at Iron Gauntlet Lock and Load. I get that. But like, it's just a turnoff for me. Like, I can't play my Rhett. Like, you guys just need my Rhett. I cannot play one of my two armies as Rhett in Iron Gauntlet.
I can borrow you some of my paint.
Lend, you fool. Lend.
No. Borrow its paint.
But anyway.
In Jeremy's case, it is borrow.
Yeah. Just use primer. It's the same as paint.
Yeah, he's going to hand me the bottle and I'm going to hand it back to
someone's
him.
Someone's head exploded.
But anyway, my point is, I think that it's a better indication of my skill level if I can win with one faction. Because everyone who plays this game can get into... Everyone that's going to ever travel to a convention, I should say, can get into one faction enough to own two competitive lists in that faction. The flip side of owning competitive lists in multiple factions is a very different cost, in my opinion.
And having both painted.
There is a difference in cost on the mastery level of it. And you'll see Iron Gauntlet evolve on what the definition of mastery of the game is.
Yeah, they've already basically said that they're going to change the format
next year.
Yeah, I mean, the format is changing.
This is their first experience with it.
I'm the voice of the people. I'm not a PG. No, I'm not purview to these magical discussions that the rest of you have.
What fucking
where DC calls you up.
Your only group is this line right here.
The PG, yeah.
I'm not in with the judges. I'm not in with the PGs. And so I'm saying this is what people are thinking when they think about Iron Gauntlet.
And that's been heard, and the format is changing to an undefined extent.
But
changing.
This is the first I've heard that it's even changing. That hasn't been publicized.
Yeah, I don't think you pay attention to that, too, and I've heard it on the forums.
Yeah, actually, also, that was they're making a new Star Wars movie.
Shut up. Nobody likes you. But anyway,
the format has the ability to change year to year.
So Thursday is an intentional price gouge to be the consumer. That's what I wanted to know. And then the reason that
every other business does to you.
No, it does. It does. Everyone loves to dick me over. And then the Masters event not being on Sunday is because you're an idiot. So those are the two answers I have.
No, the whole thing, if I was setting it up correctly now going forward, it would have been Iron Gauntlet Masters, Iron Gauntlet Masters.
Yes.
It would have been that format.
Except then Iron Gauntlet Thursday, then you're not gouging me, which I like that a lot.
I flipped it because I wanted people to go to Thursday.
Right. Unfortunately, that took enough brain power that then you did Masters 3 with
this. That makes fine.
Well, no, that's not my fault. That's how conventions work. No, so the Masters...
Especially DEFCON has always done it that way.
No, it's just how Masters works on the time frame. Mm-hmm. Because for Masters to be a four-round event on the qualifiers, it's either a four-round event in the qualifiers and a three-round event in the finals, or a three-round event in the qualifier and a four-round event in the finals.
But now it's a 3-3.
No, it's 3-4.
It's a 3-4. There's 16 players. There's 16 players making into the Masters, because it's a four.
It's always hard when you have three rounds and only you play just once. Certain people get screwed because there's certain matchups you can't avoid.
I mean, the reason it is a three-round is because we cannot get the 124 required players to make it a four-round event. Yeah. There's never, ever, ever been a Masters as 124 players in it for a qualifier to justify the four-round event. So you'll always see a three-round event.
So what I've seen some places...
a four-round qualifier last year.
Not for...
For Masters. I played it.
No, it was hardcore.
It wasn't a Masters qualifier. It was hard. The thing was Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Hardcore were the qualifiers. And
so the qualifiers, we changed from the... War Machine, because I feel that the championship event, pulling seeding from every tournament, you get a bunch of different skill levels
to
them.
You do.
And I don't think that's what they wanted going forward. So, right,
so it's legit. That's why
it is a Masters format. That's where why it's Masters to Masters.
Yeah, I would imagine like if they took it to the extreme and like whoever quote unquote wins, who's the boss, just gets shoved in the Masters because they won one of the events.
Well, I mean, exactly. That would be hilarious.
That's the reason why we switched away
from
that.
I mean, some tournaments do that. I mean, SmodCon last week.
They do that.
They exactly did that because Anthony, who won it in a 35-point Midnight Madness.
What, could we let
medal.
Do that for who's the boss?
Could we do that for the one person that gets who's the boss gets one spot?
Because you want to make
who's the boss suddenly super competitive.
Yeah,
no, he just wants to get Ben Lang into it.
No.
Do it as a surprise.
Literally just get Ben Lang into the match.
No, as a surprise. Or even a spot on the wheel.
I was going to say you ruined the surprise by bringing it up on air, but nobody listens, so that's okay.
A spot on the wheel, though, I like that one.
Oh, hold on. Spoiler for all our listeners, this is a War Machine-centric episode because I'm on
By the way, we should have thrown that out of there. Well, and it's our Adepticon episode.
So here's my... I wish this happens.
You're still bothered by the shirt.
Okay, I wish we had... I wish, and this is for all, not just Adepticon, I wish like the feeder into Masters was like a two-list... X amount of rounds, play such a one. So the Masters was like three rounds.
So you'd like a X minus one for X rounds for the qualifier.
I like three lists for four rounds. I like. I don't mind two lists for three rounds.
The problem with that is
there's no problem with that. It's perfect.
It's because the Masters packet's written in such a way that I can't change the format. Well,
but the feeder doesn't have to be a Masters.
Yeah, the feeder doesn't have to follow the format.
I know. I understand that is the Masters feeder that isn't Masters. Masters
girl pair.
I don't like that.
And show Jeremy how to do that once you do it.
My OCD level says that.
Taking your excuse away,
my OCD level prevents that.
It's just you.
Having
being
OCD.
Closed-minded,
yes.
Horrible person.
Josh is not going to prove it.
To be fair.
I don't really give a shit
what
Josh
says. I hate to stand
up
for Brian and Nate here, but they have a point that most events you go to are at most X lists, X plus one rounds.
Sure.
Play X list once.
Sure.
Like, that's fairly common as far as competitive events you go to.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, suck it.
Next year. Do that right.
I just
checked my give a damn meter.
Yeah. It's very low.
Is the proper Masters format, if it's four rounds, that you have to play each list once and then fourth round it's a free for all for
correct.
Your list?
It doesn't have to be free for all. It can be you can go say you have Scar one, Scar two, Terminus, you go, I play Scar 1, Scar 1, Scar 2, now I'm stuck at Terminus round 4.
Okay.
Wait, did I just describe your Masters list for this weekend?
Perhaps.
but I was trying to figure out if that's the way that you have to do it.
It's not that you're unrestricted in the final round. It's just that you have a choice sometime during the event.
You'll get to play one of your guys twice. Whether that's round two, round three, or round four, you'll play one of your guys a second time.
And if that's a general belief, then I won't post
that's,
anything.
And also,
that's what
because
it is.
I know I've asked you this privately before, but it is technically separate tournaments on
Thursday
and Saturday.
You can go with Crix on day one. You can go Crix on day qualifier one, Scorn on qualifier two, and play Convergence on the finals if you somehow get in with your first two.
Yay.
Except then you're bringing shit tons of models to Adepticon.
Yeah. Empty my car? I can fit it all in.
Yeah, it's not that far away. It's not like we're traveling
but
the
that's,
lock-a-load.
That is the point. Where it's,
and they all have to be painted. So getting you back into the... Like, that's the one thing about Adepticon that's different than a lot.
And that's the cool factor.
Is I get my Legion painted so I can play in Adepticon. Yeah. Like, if Adepticon didn't exist, I would have a lot of Legion that's not painted. Like, I bought the bulk of it painted, but the new stuff I bought would just never get painted.
It's actually kind of amusing to me seeing the progression from when War Machine and Hordes came into Adepticon to the other events now. You notice that a lot more events at other conventions are painted.
You do.
So it's really amusing to me that I think they saw when they went to Adepticon that people really enjoyed having the fully painted armies.
Well, it's fun having the fully painted armies. Like, I don't disagree really with that. But for people like me who just have a crippling
painting problem,
painting. I hate painting. I don't even assemble my models. Like, if my model has more than three pinpoints, I say, Andy, I'll buy you lunch.
Yeah, I get you.
And
he
goes, I like food.
But that
exactly.
There's
you are painting
wrong with
allergic.
I am.
Where's my money?
There's nothing wrong with that. But it's still something cool to either pay for it or get it done one way, shape, or form to play in that kind of.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to go to Lock and Load. I'm going to bring my Rhett. Spoiler alert to anybody who cares what I'm doing at Lock and Load. I'm going to fly out to Lock and Load with my Rhett. I'm going to play in the qualifier.
Yep.
It's going to be hilarious because no one else is going to bother to play, and I'm going to somehow qualify, and then I'm going to have three 50-point Rhett lists completely unpainted, and I'm going to go, help! And I'm just going to dragoon anyone I can find, and I'll be like, I don't care, just throw paint at a model.
See, people did that for Chad at War Machine Weekend years ago because they like Chad.
They like Chad.
See, you're
there
not going to get
like
that.
Me. No.
You don't
people
count.
Like me.
You don't count when you're counting people who like you.
Well, not only that, I'm not sure we're going to like...
I took a commission for him, so does that mean I like him?
How is this coming, by the way?
Let's all take a vote.
Oh, sweet.
Everybody who likes Jeremy, say something.
I like Jeremy.
Yes!
I'm not sure if I like him enough to paint his list.
I'm typing. I have painted Warspears. I have now up two units. I have Warspears to get back to you, Dan, that I've been borrowing for like a month. I still haven't gotten my Afflictor from Marshall, so I'll be keeping that for a while still. That Afflictor better get back to me painted by Adepticon or I'll be pissed.
Yeah, so that's what the mystery box I brought in was.
I just read something. Tell me if this makes sense. So in a Mayhem Cup event, we always have round one. And so Mayhem Cup's events are, it's teams where, you know, you have 20 from 10 from this town, 5 from this town, 6 from this town. In the very, very first round, round one, you don't pair city versus city.
Correct.
And then from round two on, it's luck free for all. Yeah. Maybe. Yep. And you always use computer program. It's just the computer says this town's fucked.
Yep.
That's life. And then when you feed to the top 16, then it's all to the computer. What they just did in Texas is they got to the top 16 and they kept all the cities separate.
I would be okay with.
Wow. I feel like that's advantage
to the whole
local town. That's super advantage to the local town.
And that was why we never did that, because obviously the big hometown has the most numbers.
I think we've only ran out of our Mayhem Cups. I think we only ran maybe one or two that fed into the next day.
I think we
were always one single day.
We did single day, but Iowa did a couple one days, and we did a two day, and Iowa's done a couple 2 days.
Yeah,
but because if you separate day one, day two like that, yeah, it's a huge local advantage. I would almost like to see the Mayhem Cup change in formats where it goes to the 3-person team, though, to be honest, or something where.
Yeah. I think that would be really cool.
I was going to talk to them for the next man. I thought the idea too late to say something because it was already posted, but I really think going forward, we need to figure out some kind of Mayhem where it's teams of two or teams of three of local cities, and then you try. That way you can kind of keep less locals or less teams apart.
People have been talking about that for a long time.
Yeah.
Actually, that was a Texans original idea.
Yeah.
If I remember.
It may work. I think it'd be, I don't know. I kind of like it. You still run into some problems, but.
I'm going to bring this up on air. I was in discussions with this when I went up to Oshkosh about running a Wisconsin Cup where it's just stores in Wisconsin that can win the cup.
And are there enough of us that would work?
There's Oshkosh, Milwaukee, Madison, and then I believe there's one up in Stevens Point that we can have.
Unrelated things. / possibly could be related to that. I've been talking for all, because we've done the six packs a couple times here locally, is I was hoping, but it would take a lot of effort, that the next six pack we did would be at six different locations. Instead of just having...
Or just like two
or maybe
each.
Maybe two or three.
A beer crawl for War Machine?
Basically. So it's like a six-pack, but well,
if anyone's on my Facebook
Oshkosh
page.
Madison, Milwaukee... Because
he has all the coins already.
I just bought six coin kits for some apparent reason. Speaking
right.
of six
I thought, I thought you said seven. Was it seven?
I bought six War Machine coin kits.
And then for the seven.
When the Horde books comes out in 8 months, I'm going to buy six Horde books, and then I'm going to
It's actually the Horde books. I don't know if it's 8 months.
Well, they say
August. It might be Gen Con.
I'm
betting on Gen Con.
I would be happy, but I don't have enough faith.
Sure. This one already got pushed back of 2 weeks ago.
But anyway, I thought that it would be neat if those were at multiple. And originally, even like going up to the Focus and Fury people and going down to the Dice Dojo and then one out.
As a person who runs the last couple of these, the last one, it's so much work that having to trust other people really
is really hard.
Hesitant.
Yeah.
Because
flip side, hypothetically, it's less work for you because other people are doing it. Well, but wrangling them, I understand.
No, and running the event's the easy part. It's keeping all the money and the player numbers the same, and then ordering the stuff. I mean, that's the behind this. Like every time an event, because last time I did two, you did two, Andy did two, so we all split the duties.
Yeah.
But then I spend 3 to 6 hours after every weekend event doing the paperwork and other things. Yeah. So
see,
that's where the hard work is.
But that's what you do.
I want.
And that's your role in RPG triumvirate.
Yeah,
here.
I do. Yeah, exactly.
Like Annie's the jovial Santa. Everybody loves Annie. Bring in the noobs. You do all the paperwork, and then I'm the asshole. Yes.
How many?
I'm the rules guy.
I'm the one that plays all the noobs.
No, but like, I'm just saying, I'm not saying you don't, I'm just saying, like, when I think of the power, the strengths that the three of us have.
With your powers combined.
I'm the rules guy, Brian is totally the guy behind organizing everything, and Andy's more the social face of it, of the three of us.
And Rick is?
Rick's not a real PG.
Rick, I really hope you listen to our podcast.
He's the Zeppo. You got Harpo, Chico, and Groucho here, and then Zeppo down in Janesville.
So, as a result, there is a reason that half of Rick's last PG order ended up going to me, because I did have to work at the last Square stuff.
Right. See, so he's Zeppo, and you're Margaret Dumont.
Coin event. It's just I can't afford it.
Jeremy, the reason why we have you play all the new players is, have you seen how many players are at Pegasus right now?
Yeah.
So we're trying to drive some away.
I was talking to Megas.
No, I'm kidding. We hit 20.
If we played, we have to throw the game. And you just naturally lose it.
Actually, I played. Well, I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah, you do have an unnatural knack of just like derp, derp, and then you lose.
Herp a derp.
He's like, oh, I'm gonna force hammer. Doom Shaper.
Yep. That happens.
That happens.
Or are you forcing him to force? Or you ask him if he wants to shake
would you
stand
like
to up.
Shake, would you like to shake knockdown?
I didn't say it. I'm so sorry, Travis. I'm much better now. I'm in a better place. I'm no longer asking
well, you can't,
people if they want to shake
you
knockdown.
You reached the pinnacle of being a dick, so it's really hard to go beyond that.
It wasn't a pinnacle.
I still like when Jeremy... deciding it was a good scatter point, knowing stealth would cause it to miss, but he didn't
cause
care.
Cause
a good
cast point, chain blast.
Cast chain blast at Iris 2.
At Iris 2.
He's like, that's a good place for it to scatter from. Directly on top of your caster, you mean?
Which didn't matter because everything around him was immune to blast.
It was still
funny. It was still hilarious. That was one of many times I've been in the... This wasn't a finals match, mind you, for a tournament. This was one of many times I faced a local Madison guy in the finals tournament and punted the game so hard. So hard.
I did not have to work for that coin.
You did not.
I did not.
Man, I just gave it away with both
hey,
hands.
Hey, at least now you have a first place coin out, too.
Oh. If they, I really, like... If I could go back in time and change one thing in my life, I would go back and buy a coin kit for Billy so I could have a first place coin.
You've won Madison tournaments and got stuff from it.
I've won tournaments. I've won
a tournament or tournament.
Yeah, thanks, asshole. Because I missed one of them. I didn't win that thing.
Yeah, Jeremy, yes, you won participation.
If there's anything I know how to do, it's how to win the participation.
I got a
Crix
coin.
So you got like a best of War Machine coin? Yeah, okay.
But I didn't get a championship.
It didn't have the number one on it, but you got your best of Crix and best of War Machine coins?
Yes.
Yeah, I've never earned a best of Hordes or War Machine coin either because...
I thought you lucked you into a best of Rhett one once.
Oh, I get best of Rhett all the time.
There's very few Rhett players.
Default.
I have a stack of best of Minions coins that are meaningless. You showed up. Here you go.
I need a few more. I need like two more events to run. Not to run the faction coins, and then I'm going to just start playing my focus for all my Rhett casters, including Ron, as Rhett coins.
See, the problem is I'm going to be fighting Nate now for convergence coins.
You will
really.
I have six of them.
Not at each other's events. We won't.
That's true.
But what for the six pack?
Neither one of you can run events.
We can't run steamroller ones.
But isn't the six-pack steamroller generally?
Shut up.
It really restricts how many events
won't matter
because walking.
Someone I know will die again, so I'll miss an event, and then you'll get it.
And then I'll get the participation award.
Die/murdered.
Anyhow,
if somebody killed my godfather's father to keep me from going to an event, they have weird priorities.
I'm not going to disagree. So, we're rambling. Do we have anything else about Adepticon before we...
It's a lot of fun. You should go.
It's a great time.
I thought we were going to talk briefly about just, like, those of us that are prepping for it.
Because
that's why Dan's here.
Yeah. One quick thing. If you want Wisconsin brews, Wisconsin alcohol...
You need to let Andy know.
Come see Andy. or let
Andy
know.
Andy will be your supplier.
Andy brings Spotted Cow. I bring two women, too. God, I love two women.
Two women is
Fat Squirrel.
Goddamn amazing.
Fat Squirrel's overrated. Okay.
Fat Squirrel's amazing. It's way better than Spotted Cow.
No. Not better than two women.
This reminds me.
I actually don't like Pails as much, so I think it is.
This reminds me. I got to get my Pack 1520 out of retirement so I can put the cooler in it again.
So, Dan, what are you bringing to the Adepticon events?
So, for the Masters, I'm most likely doing the Crix pairing I've been working on, which is Terminus, Gatsby 2, and Scar 2.
Do you refuse to let me practice against your Gatsby 2, you asshole?
Yeah. Let's see. Let's review. Either I can play a Gatsby 2 list with 55 models against Saren... Or I can bring the Scar 2 list specifically designed to fight Chromac and Saren.
How's that worked out for you so far in our practice games?
Better than the Gatsby list. Because I had a chance both
you
times.
You did have a chance both times.
Yeah, Gatsby doesn't get dropped against mm-hmm. Legion.
No.
Then there's
if they don't bring Saren for some reason. If you have a crippling lack of, you don't own the model.
Maybe they face Crix round one. That was their
third. That's actually what I'm terrified about. I'm going to face Crix round one, and then I'm going to face Dan round two, and I'm going to go, son of a bitch!
So that also actually does remind me, are you running that? And if so, how much do I have to pay you so I don't play Danny round one?
Yes, I'm running it.
Yeah,
you can't bribe him.
Because Chromax Saren wrecks your day.
You cannot bribe him on the air. He's currently unbribable. In 15 minutes, things may change.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm unbribable.
All right, 25 minutes.
All right, so
anyways, for Iron Gauntlet, I'm not actually sure what I'm going to do yet. I originally was going to do Gatsby 2 and Saren.
However,
which is a good choice.
My painting stuff has slowed down considerably, and so there's still a significant portion of that Saren list I have to paint.
Do you need that afflictor back to paint it?
Well, the bigger problem is I haven't had time to practice it either.
Yeah, that's
if you get practice fair. With the list, what do you need painted?
I would have to look.
Because I honestly haven't looked. I have my Saren list painted.
Yeah.
So. Do you have an afflictor?
I can probably, I can probably track it down.
I have my mounted flying afflictor.
Yeah. The bigger problem is that Brian has browbeaten me into playing one faction for 4 months.
That is pretty true.
Yes. And you're winning. You're competent now.
To be fair, you've been doing well at
yes.
it.
I mean, it's
surprising. Hey, Travis.
And over, you know.
Hey, I've decided after Adepticon, once I get Lucant, which I think I'm Lucant. Getting. Lucant, I think I'm getting at Adepticon.
Convergence sure. for the rest of the year?
It's Convergence for mm-hmm. 6 months to a year.
If he doesn't sell out quick enough.
Was it?
If he doesn't sell out quick enough.
Yeah,
no, running. No talking about that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I have a corollary. I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I mean, I have enough stuff from painted from factions that I can pretty much throw whatever I want. I just have to decide what I want to take or if I'm just going to do two of those three Kirkscasters and rejiggle the support yeah. stuff.
I'm signed up for Iron Gauntlet for reasons that escape me at the moment.
I'm playing Scorn, and I could go Scorn Crickfoot.
There's actually nothing wrong with doing a double faction inside.
The only thing that hurts you going double faction, well, the thing that hurts you the most is character restrictions.
Agreed.
Well, actually, the thing that's not even hurting is not character restrictions, is specialists. I'm just trying to figure out how to move stuff around.
Holy fuckballs.
Yeah. That
applies to Brian specialists.
I was actually, when I was going to do...
You could have Horn Midwinter.
That's your specialist.
Yeah. That's actually a valid specialist for Scorn. It's quite valid.
When I was going to do Gatsby 2 Saren, I actually had this really cool setup with about four Light Beasts rotating in the Saren list. And then the Gatsby list was, I might throw in the Wither Shadow combo. And I couldn't even come up with a special list.
The Asphyxius 2 lists are always difficult because it's your list is generated in such a way that you don't have
anything to take out.
Yeah, well, there's nothing to flip.
And now the version I'm running is 4 full units, so there's...
Yeah, there's no
hypothetically, the Sea Hag unit can get yanked if your opponent has no tough,
because
that's the main thing she's there for.
Because my version of the Asphyxius list doesn't have Blood Witches. I don't have painted, so I don't use them
but
at all.
Hypothetically, they'd be the in or out.
Yeah, I mean, correct. Well, that's the only... it's either that or the Raiders are the only things I really could even swap out.
You wouldn't drop the Raiders, you'd drop the Blood Witches instead.
Yeah,
unless you're playing like Trolls.
And then the Raiders may not be
I still used, like this running the Raiders up there because it takes them a turn to get through that.
Correct.
It does.
Trolls have a hard time hitting those.
Those witches. Those witches are, or the Satixes are really hard to hit.
They are witches.
So those are the two events you're playing, Masters and Iron Gauntlet?
Yeah, that's what
more?
I signed up for. And then after that, I'm just going to see where the qualifiers land. I will probably play hardcore if I'm not doing anything else. The biggest thing on that is then I've got to figure out if Rick is able to check me out of my room because at the
on it's Sunday the weird
is the other caveat if I end up doing hardcore. So
that is the issue
because I'm actually Sunday as usual. I mean, this is the fifth year I'm going there at DepCon, and I always stay at a hotel off site because number one, they're $60 a night. Number two, there's a full fridge and stove. Yeah, so.
That's nice.
So it's worth the 10-minute drive
because
then I always just bring a cooler full of food and I can actually have real food.
The difference between being on-site versus off-site. Yeah, I like going up to my room and just crashing whenever during it. It's different than having to drive somewhere. So it's
the
pros and cons of both.
The caveat.
There are counterpoints.
Because at Gen Con, it sucks to be
going that way now.
You just yelled at Travis for going the other direction.
I know, but I like to annoy you with it.
Go ahead. The only thing I signed up for is Masters. Lucant, I definitely would not have time to buy and paint him for the Thursday Masters qualifiers. So,
you know,
speaking of which,
I might have time to paint. No, you're going to be in there. I might have time to paint it before your round starts that you'd use him.
That's okay.
Speaking of which, do you know what time the Privateer store is opening? Or have they not figured that out yet?
You have the schedule thing up right there. Can you go to the...
While you're checking that. So he isn't really an option, and then Aurora, and so I'm definitely... My three lists are going to be the other three casters that exist. I'm probably bringing Carrier Group, because Carrier Group is goddamned amazing. Cyntherian Tier 4, because it's goddamned amazing. And then Axis, I might just bring, like, 70 small base models. We'll see. That's my story.
Axis small base models could be interesting.
It's 30 obstructors and 33 reductors, and then a galvanizer and a corollary and axis, and I think that's it. I might have something else in there. I don't remember though. But it's hilarious.
Fun.
It's fun to watch.
Very cool.
There will be a lot of convergence. I have a feeling there will be a ton
with the corollary at least.
Even TempleCon, there wasn't that many convergence players.
But that was the first time you could get it, and now people could have gotten it at TempleCon and practiced with it.
I don't know. I'm just happy that I don't give I all three of my lists, I am comfortable with them against Gatsby 2 and Morvana 2. Because all
turns out a faction that doesn't live is pretty cool.
Yeah. Why doesn't I'm not saying we're specking players, but I think convergence lists are more threatening now. Like they're legitimate lists.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's versus
more stuff. Yeah, they're yeah. Almost everything is out now. So they're not hamstrung. You know, it's like, well, I have three total choices. So
yeah,
you know,
I mean, Iron Mother wasn't even out yet for TumbleCon, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a huge difference.
Yes.
I don't know when the store opens at Adepticon. I think it's 8 to 10 a.m.
Okay, I just can't remember if it's open Thursday or Friday, because I know
it's going to be open Thursday.
Well, they haven't had a store at Adepticon.
Last year it was 4 days, but the store hall in general didn't open until Friday. Okay. So
I couldn't tell you for sure then. I honestly don't know. I would guess on Thursday, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's me too, which bums me out, but it's life.
Mm-hmm. That's the extent of my input, because that's the only event I signed up for.
I signed up.
I'll play the rest by ear.
You don't have to take a judge test this year.
I do not have to take a judge test this year. That's great. Last year I had a total of 4 hours that I wasn't doing something.
I remember.
Yeah. Good planning on my part.
It really wasn't.
Jeremy, I remember your seeing photo sucks. Photo's
it's
awful.
It's actually not that bad.
All right. I'll take a better photo.
Fine. Right. I will be playing my Legion.
You skipped Travis.
He's not competitively playing. He's running it.
I'm playing all of two games. One against Michael Plummer, one against DC. That's my annual games for the year.
Done. See?
There you go.
So you go 1-1.
No, I actually won both games last year.
Oh. Fancy. I'm just saying one of those two is competent, and one of those two is Michael Plummer.
Oh!
Bazinga!
Plummer bomb! Boom! Suck it!
Plummer barely even knew her!
Wow. That was terrible.
What she said.
I did enjoy last year in one of your games. I think it was against Plummer, watching him run the Infiltrators, which hadn't been out yet.
Yeah.
He had the Infiltrators. That got me all excited.
Because I was playing, I brought Circle last year, and he got to face Baldur 2, and then he screwed up a lane. I'm like, I guess I'll just kill you with Baldur 2.
Yeah, this just kind of happened. Because he was also playing Virus 2, wasn't he?
He was 1 or 2.
I think he was playing Virus 2. Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed watching that game. But I will be playing my Legion. I am still torn on my lists because of my terror of double-facing, like, Cricks. Like, one of my lists is Saren, just done. One of my lists almost definitely has to be Evale, just in case I go Cricks. And then I'm trying to decide on my third list. It's going to be either Elilith with the changes that I talked about on our last podcast, or it will be Pthags with the double War Spears. I really want it to be Pthags with the double War Spears, but Elilith, she tempts me with her, hey, the game's over and it's been 30 minutes, and now I get to relax before the next round.
It's nice having a list where you can... It's having a list where you can just end the game.
Yeah.
And points make is nice.
Yeah.
Well, like, plus Pthag is such an assassination threat that you can play your way out of some bad spots.
Yeah, like, I played against it the last turn. I played against the Morvana player. I've never seen that bitch run and hide like a chicken shit little coward. Like, if there had been a kill box, she'd have still been outside it. Like, she just didn't care. She was just like, I'm getting the F out of here. I'm going to large base Elilith. No. I'm out. And I mean, unless you brought, like, the Flesh of Clay guy, like, just not happening. So, yeah, I'm deciding. I really love Pythagrosh. The bigger problem is I don't think I can run Saren, Pythagrosh, Elilith. Like, I think I need Evale in case I hit double Cricks. Like, it feels necessary, but...
Pythagrosh isn't an auto loss against Cricks. It's a rough game, but...
Pythagrosh 2 or Pythagrosh 1?
It's pretty bad.
Oh, that's a hard one.
It's pretty bad. Because
you're relying on attrition, and Cricks just takes everything out.
I mean, the only thing going for your favor is the fact that the Cricks player is also going to be losing lists as they go, too.
Well, to be fair, if you're facing a Cricks player and they know you've dropped Saren already, they're not going to, and they haven't, if they have like E-Gaspy and something like that, you're not going to get the worst.
I'm not
going to
get E-Gaspy, right. Unless it's round three and they somehow still have E-Gaspy.
Well, my entire plan is to not drop Gaspy unless I have to.
Right, and ride him to round three. That's also the thing about Evale that's nice. Is if Evale's my last caster, there's not a matchup in the game where I'm like, oh man, I'm Evale, this is just over. Like, I'm just done.
Side note, I just remembered that the other thing in my Axis Swarm list is 4 Enigma Foundries, so I'm not bringing that to Adepticon.
No, you're not. That would make that difficult.
The Enigma Foundries might be there.
But you won't get 4 of them painted.
But you want 4 of them painted.
You don't know that.
I'm doing this shit.
I'm bringing my gold spray paint. It's Masters, hardcore.
You might be able to.
It's not hardcore, it's Masters. I'll bring my gold spray paint
I'm
and
saying
some
your paint
silver
scheme.
Paint.
I'm saying your paint scheme can do
takes
it.
Like, yeah.
Although I keep... in the corner.
I keep procrastinating, and so even though...
there's still a lot of unpainted models at your house.
Yeah. Like, they're going to take 30 seconds each, but I have enough that that's going to add up to 4 weeks of painting, so I should probably start.
I like how the posts are already happening on Facebook that's like, oh my god, what have I done? Adepticon is coming and it will destroy me.
The hats are all base coated.
That's cool.
I just have to paint the feathers.
I'm so happy that I only have 4 models left this year. Last year, this time, I had 30, and I ended up rewriting a list the night before because I looked and saw what I didn't have done.
I have 9.
So says, now that I play Convergence and half of Minions, I'm going to get like one new model a year, and that makes me, like, I should be sad about that.
But it makes you so
happy. It makes me so happy. It makes me so happy. Because number one, I won't have to paint shit as much. And number two, it'll force me to actually focus on things and play them instead of having, you know, new thingitis and playing like the 12 new items and not getting practice with all the old stuff.
I love the shit out of Legion, and I love all of my casters, and it makes me so sad every day. I'm like, I could be playing Assyria right now. Like, every time I get out my Legion models, it's like, this could be Assyria I was putting on the table, but it's not.
How many attacks do Infiltrators have?
Infiltrators? 2. Yeah. Each. Okay. Each.
You should remember that.
Each.
Yeah.
And they're fearless. Yeah. And they're, oh my god, everything about them. Anyway, so I am signed up right now ridiculously. I'm signed up for both Masters qualifiers, both Iron Gauntlet qualifiers, the team tournament. Like, I was just like, I signed up for everything, and then I'm going to just drop all of it.
Yeah, so that was the other reason why I only signed up for Thursday and Friday. Yeah, like, so that Saturday morning I can sleep.
I am the person making it so everyone else can sign up last minute and get it.
I say. I've done that before. There was one year where I did the every War Machine event except for the Saturday one and the 40K tournament.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, I literally signed up for 2 events at the same time because there's the Iron Gauntlet. Doesn't Iron Gauntlet run against the team tournament on Friday?
No.
Oh no, it's on Saturday. It's against the
Commander's Crucible and the Iron Gauntlet.
During the schedule, but anyway. Travis went through everything.
Anyway, so I'm very excited, and I'm going to play shit through the War Machine, and I really want to do well. We'll see what happens.
That'll last until Teenage gets there, and then you'll be drunk in the corner again.
I am good. Yeah, spoiler alert, the second qualifier each day for those 2 events, I may play blitzed out of my mind.
Teenage makes danger. He. I don't know who's worse, him or Jim.
Both are pretty bad. They both make
drinks. They're like, am I drinking like fruit juice? Yeah, there's and then you're dead in the
and
corner.
And then you fall over.
Those blackberry brambles. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I got a new favorite drink, baby.
I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that Prof Lust brings some moonshine up.
Did he bring moonshine?
He brought the apple pie moonshine.
Ask him. He doesn't remember everything.
He remembers nothing about that.
That'll be in my room. Because he's staying with us.
I would be crashing your guys' room.
No, it's Travis, Professor Lost, Andy, and I. We just went over this.
There might be like 2 other bodies in that room,
too. I don't have to
sleep
in the room to drink in the room.
Yes, you do. It's a requirement.
My room's going to be the party room. Excellent.
Party time. Andy, sorry.
Andy said he's working the entire convention.
I'm working for the goddamn convention, which was already covered during Travis's segment.
But he's going to bring cutthroat, brutal, raffle stamp, asshole list to Iron Arena.
At night.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. That is how he's going to roll, apparently.
Take that, people. It just seems like we're repeating what we talked about for an hour before.
All right, so Brian. This.
I am going to be bringing – well, and there's – so Masters is on Thursday. Lock and Loaded – Iron Gauntlet is on Friday. No, I'm bringing – all my list is something plus Xerxes. So Xerxes is like locked in. Xerxes team is locked into one of my Masters lists. He's locked in on one of my Iron Gauntlets.
You're still angry about painting that many casts.
He's
going
to be in hardcore. So Xerxes is a third to half of all of my things.
Yeah.
And then for Masters, I'm leaning towards Mordekaiser Zal Xerxes, but I might switch it out to sneak in some P-Hexy or...
Well, you need to find something when Mordekaiser list 473 still doesn't work.
I'm on 13 lists of 13 versions of Mordekaiser.
None of which he's liked.
I'm getting closer, and some of them I've liked, but some of them are good for this situation, not this situation. Some are good for this and that, so I've been really tweaking it up.
But the problem is you're trying to create a scoring list that answers all crits matchups, which is just
really speaking
hard.
Of which, did you see that Watt has also joined the U and Pedals and Josh Simpson
competition? I love that thread. It's
thread?
It's on Muse. It's me, Josh Simpson...
Watt and Paddles, who's from Australia. And all 4 of them are just talking about Mordor. It's been the best learning experience on how to play Crix as a Crix player. It's been great just because I've been watching them. Plus, Brian has posted half our games in there, and I'm just like, this is amazing. I need to keep taking notes.
Yeah, it's a good threat. So Xerxes is all over the place, and I'll probably be having Mordekaiser in a lot. I might wild card to something else in there, but P-Hex is a maybe, and I might also throw in Rashaf. So I have 7 lists to fit into 3 by this.
Well, practically, and the one thing about having Mordekaiser Zal is that means you keep me and any other Terminus player from ever dropping that against you, which I want to otherwise.
That's why I kind of want Zal to be in rotation, because, he just is not... I mean, a Terminus player has any brains, he's never going to pick that way.
Is that because of the incorporeal? Or
no, because it's because Zal says, I pick where all souls go.
And the opponent, never gets
a hard That's combo. Right, I forgot about that.
So, yeah,
And his is different. It isn't just like Zal gets souls, it's he gets to pick, so it trumps the closest rule, yeah, right?
Well, it says enemies can never have souls plus
yeah. Right, right. Yeah.
It's the
absolute... If he has nowhere to put them, you don't get them.
Yeah, right. It's Testament and Zal are both bad matchup for Terminus.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's me. So, I'm excited for it.
Sweet.
That is my...
Very cool.
Woohoo! We've got it on the table. We're down to the last...
Holy crap.
We should go with the recommendations.
Recommendations! Dan, recommend something.
Travis can't start. I'm going to start Travis just in case. Travis isn't going to steal mine.
Diablo 3.
You mother... I was talking to Jeremy about this yesterday. I said I'm going to recommend Diablo 3.
So since Travis is a fucker and stole mine, too.
Yes!
because of the patch.
Yes, because of the patch. I'm not sure if I want to recommend Diablo 3 itself yet. I will definitely recommend playing it again because it's a completely different game.
Especially if you already own it, you played it, you got sick of it, you stopped playing it. Play it again. The patch is fresh. It's new. It's good.
It's much better.
The writing still sucks.
Yeah, and the story is the same. I'm not completely sold yet on the scaling difficulty. It is cool, but it does destroy really the multiple playthroughs kind of thing for a single character.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like I've been playing probably 15 hours on the new character I started Wednesday, and I'm level 52 already.
That is pretty cool.
And the multiple playthroughs, I mean, as long as you're doing stuff and doing quests and everything, I don't know if the multiple playthroughs is necessary.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is
it feels like part of the Diablo experience.
The other thing, though, is we haven't seen the adventure mode thing that's in the expansion.
Correct.
I think that's going to be the big...
This is the bounty thing?
No, it's literally basically you pick an encounter and you go to it.
Yeah.
Raylene, when we were talking yesterday, that's the phrase they're going to use.
Yeah, so that I think will help that a lot. The other thing I'm just stoked about the expansion is there's finally a reason to use a shield. Because the Crusader is flail shield, as opposed to every other damn class, which is you should double wield. Because
you should just double.
No, monks have a choice of monks doing a shield if they want to.
If you're not double wielding, what you're doing.
I am aware. I'm double wielding.
Or a two-handed weapon. But the point
I'm
is
using
the
two one-handed.
The
I'm aware.
Defensive buff isn't worth the because
they fixed it so it's actually quite.
I mean, it's better, but like I said, it's still just the Crusader's probably going to have shield strikes and stuff like that that none of the other classes have right now.
Agreed.
It's like a three-person Diablo 3
recommendation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fuckers. I was like, I need to go first because I figured Travis was going to steal it. Because out of the blue, yesterday, Travis texted me. He's like, you should friend me on Diablo so we can play together. And I'm like, damn it.
Oh, don't worry. I was going to steal it too, actually.
We were talking about it in the other room.
Before you got here.
Before you got here. So I was like, I need that to recommend first.
Assholes.
Go.
So are you guys not recommending anything? Then you're just done.
Team recommendation.
Actually, if they want to recommend Diablo 3, I'll recommend the Skull and Expeditions books.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of them have been fantastic.
I would say that it reminds me of the early days of the Star Wars series when like the post movie Star Wars books were really solid. They were all probably a bunch of different writers, but they were all solid. And then
they tried to do too many other ones.
When they tried to do a series by multiple authors, I think is when it fell apart. Quite frankly,
see, they haven't done that yet for any of these. Yeah. So it's like the Taran Rooker stories, same author throughout.
Yeah. And that's how they should do it. It's better that way.
You get some difference though in like the Machination storyline has Will Schick writing them, and then you've got the author that's writing them in the past. So like the Exiles of in the Night or whatever the
Moving Targets.
Moving Targets. You've got the Necrotech, the Night of Necrotech. Those two are in the past. They're right beforehand because you meet Rex, you learn a little bit of the relationship between Taran and Rooker, and then you get all the stuff that goes on with that. But all the books so far have been they're fast reads because, well, if you're into the storyline, you're just going to burn through them.
Yeah, they burn through
them. And they're just very interesting. It's plainly obvious that the people they got for them, they're all War Machine players.
Yeah, I love the fact that
they're all
Howard
into
Taylor
it.
And Larry Carulia are some of the most active forum posters right now.
Correct.
And that's great.
Their forum posts are pure gold.
Yeah.
Because they hit people really hard, and they hit them with facts, and it just destroys people on the forums. I think it's Larry Carulia is one of the most
Howard
amazing
Taylor,
ones.
Yeah, are the two big
they're
ones.
They're just like, they hit people, and they hit them so hard. It's so great.
My personal favorite was the one when someone tried to argue with Larry how the book publishing world works.
Yeah. He's like, no. Whoa! Just beats him in the face with it.
Doesn't most of the authors have to go through a bunch of fact finding things?
The guys have this really hard editing process on it, so there's very few mistakes, if any.
Excellent.
Plus, the books specifically have made me actually like a faction. I don't like Scorn at all. you can blame that guy across the table from me for that. But the Makeda story is freaking amazing. I wanted to play Scorn because of the Makeda story. That's the whole reason behind it. So it's the whole storyline that they have going with all the books. They're fantastic. The Legion one was a lot of fun to read. Mutagenesis that just came out.
I haven't actually read that one yet.
It's a lot of fun to read because it's you get to see Thurgrosh before he was
the dragon.
The dragon. And Thurgrosh's storyline is one of the more interesting ones because it's a tragic one. He's going to disappear eventually.
Oh, yeah. Eventually there will be no
Thurgrosh goes away and it's Everblight. Yeah. So it's very interesting to see more about Thurgrosh before he became what he is. And there's a really cool at the end, it's like, oh, everything really makes sense of why Thurgrosh is who he is. So it's there's a lot of cool factors to it.
I look forward to reading that one.
Are there any sex scenes?
No.
Conversion issue, I'm actually building Rex.
Very nice. That's awesome. That's I want to see the Toro get into the game because they put it in the IKRPG book two. I have the feeling that the next War Machine book is going to have a plastic mercenary kit.
It'll probably have a plastic mercenary kit. It'll probably have a
It'll be a Toro and Mangler because they share the same base stat line.
The Toro does look distinctly different than
the Mangler. It does look differently, but I mean, they could easily different shoulder pads and stuff. Yeah.
I'm hoping for a character kit for Rex.
They've shown up too many times in the fluff all over the place.
Exactly. It was the main story character for Machinations. Mm-hmm. It's the main story character for two of their novels. It's too likely to not come up now.
I've been doing a lot of research on building Rex as well. So he looks like he does have an ironclad chassis, the plastic ironclad chassis.
With a little different
modifications on the top and the cowl as well. It goes all the way around the head. But it looks like he has a nomad head.
It
matches closer to the metal nomad head than any other head out there. But yeah, he'll be posted eventually when I get him done.
Unpainted.
I am converting him for a pro painter who's painting it
awesome.
For a client.
That is cool. My recommendation is going to be, and Brian probably recommended this a long time ago, but I recently started reading the Codex Alera series by Jim Butcher, which is amazing. And I picked it up, Brian had mentioned it, and it was, cool and whatever. And then somebody posted on Facebook the video of Jim Butcher at Comic-Con a couple years ago. And he was like, I wrote this book on a dare. Somebody said that you can't take a bad idea and write a good story. And I said, fuck you, you can. Give me two bad ideas. And the two bad ideas he gave him were The Lost Roman Legion and Pokemon. And then he turned that into the most amazing book ever. So I'm most of the way through book two. I actually killed the battery on my iPad reading it on my Kindle app. I've been reading the crap. All right, then. I've been reading the crap out of it. I highly recommend Codex Alera. I told some guys, I was in an all-day meeting on Friday, and I told some people in there that I was reading it, and they were like, oh, it's not that good. And I was like, it actually is amazing. Like, it's not – if what you're looking for is high fantasy Dresden, no, it is not high fantasy Dresden. It's a well-written high fantasy book that is also written by Jim Butcher that shows his ability and breadth as an author, in my
Instead
opinion.
Of being Dresden
because,
all the time.
Because I love some other authors, I don't know how many people know Stephen R. Lawhead, wrote an amazing Arthurian saga, and I love the crap out of it. So I picked up a sci-fi a duology he'd written, and it's shit. He should never write sci-fi. He writes great fantasy. He writes great Celtic fantasy. He should stay where he's good. Butcher wrote a great high fantasy book and a great crime novella, and he just writes both that are good. So anyway, Codex Alera and Jim Butcher in general. That's me.
My recommendation for this week is The Stick of Truth. Everyone should play The Stick of Truth.
That's the new South Park.
It's a new South Park role-playing game. And it is amazing. It looks exactly like the cartoon. You don't like it?
I don't like South Park.
Whatever.
Travis
has a very sophisticated sense of humor.
If you do like South Park, it is a great match for it because it has a lot of things from the entire series that's in it.
That's good that they at least did it right at that point.
Yeah.
That they did.
Yeah, unlike the last three South Park games where they completely fucked it up.
Correct. So if they did it right, then that's good. If they didn't do it right, then there's something wrong at that point.
Yeah. I've been playing it pretty much nonstop for the last couple of days.
So excellent.
It's been good.
I'm going to recommend, we've mentioned it, The True Detective, the final's on tonight. It's an amazing show on HBO. The final. Final episode. Yeah,
The finale.
No, it's final.
No, it's the final. It's the final of these characters.
Season one ends tonight, and it's episode 8.
The final of these characters.
It's a very, I guess you could call it like a slow burn drama. Well,
it's their finale appearance. In the final.
It's their final appearance on the show.
No, it's their finale appearance in the final.
You guys are all assholes. Everyone on this side of the
room. I'm going to take something of yours in this room that you love, and I'm going to break it across your face, Andy.
Is it his face? Break his face across his face. I want to see how you do that.
So on a related note, we now have an opening for a podcast.
On an unrelated note, you
go,
mean?
Go watch True Detective. It's amazing.
Yes.
That's all I got. I'm keeping it short.
Yep.
And if you haven't heard True Detective, if you haven't watched it already, you've already been failing, so stop.
Yeah, if you haven't been watching True Detective, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And then watch it.
I've watched a couple minutes of it.
Well, I haven't gotten to that one yet.
I will say this about the show. If you are expecting crazy action sequences, no.
You better like words.
There is a lot of words in the show. It's just a very good, slow... It's a slow build-up. You can't just watch one. It's like Lay's. Once you start eating, you know, the potato chips, you just can't stop. That's what the show is.
Isn't that Pringles?
No. Lay's is once you pop, chips. You can't. No, Lay's.
Pringles is once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah, oh yeah, Lay's was, but you can't eat just one.
Yes. Yeah, that's
which was basically
it.
The same thing.
That's, yeah. That's.
Because you don't pop Lay's.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Have any of you guys watched Almost Human?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, have you guys recommended that?
Starring Detective Bones McDread.
Yeah.
Detective Bones McDread.
Which one? Almost Human is in the sci-fi series? That
Carl Urban and Michael Ealy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Being Human. That's a completely different show.
Almost Human with Carl Urban and Michael Ealy.
I've been enjoying it.
I love it. I thought it was awesome.
I've already recommended that.
Okay, good. I was just making sure someone has. Because
Carl Urban, in general.
Is just
amazing. Just recommend Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Except Pathfinder.
What?
He's a Pathfinder. One of the worst movies made.
Whatever. Let's
call
it. Cool. It's a very slow podcast.
Just peter out.
All right, so that was episode 62 with our guest stars, and we hope to see you all at Adepticon.
Shut up.
Bye.